Blog Talk Radio.
Another live credit talk show where we do what we talk about. As always, so good to be with you here tonight. And we're going to be praying for you in a little bit. If you need prayer, we need to talk about something important to you. We're here for that too. So jump right in there. Get in and call in. And let's talk with you personally. See what's going on, how you're doing, how we can help. Can you give us maybe some information to help you? Yep. All right. So, welcome to the place. Let's get ready to share the word, whatever God wants us to just get into tonight. We will see here what's going on and minister to you the word of the Lord. And see if can get something for you to help you along the way, whatever path you're on, whatever little bit of encouragement you might need tonight. Can we get in here again? All right. We have video tonight, I think, so far we do. You can get on there if you'd like. What's going on with all that? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're here to minister to you, and it's Monday night, and it's going to be a great time in the old house, for sure. So if you need that ministry tonight, that's what we're here for. So make sure to take advantage of it, and we will try to be a blessing to you and maybe talk about something that we need to talk about, share some things, get some things out of the open. And, yeah. All right, let's see what we have here tonight for you. Several different things that I want to share. One of the things that we've been trying to do is do a survey and kind of like an investigative reporting on, have our own investigative report on COVID, on the vaccine, actually, COVID, the vaccine. And so we're working on that. And I'm surprised, honest to God, I'm totally shocked at some of the information I have already from our own PGN family. I mean, it's just, you know, one thing I can trust, you know, I mean, is you know, our family to tell us what's going on. And so, yeah, so you begin to see that the information that we give and what it says, you know, about our PGN family. Not everybody responds. Some people are, I think, are a little concerned to answer because somebody might condemn them if they've taken the shot or something. I don't think that's going to happen much, but you can understand who would because of what's been going on with all of it. It's been pretty rough, and a lot of people have just been shaming people who haven't taken the vaccine. I haven't taken the vaccine. I haven't taken it. But there are people I know that are taking the vaccine, and some of them are talking about it. And I'm surprised at the results. I mean, it's really been amazing. I had a friend from PGN, been PGN for quite a while, send me information today, and it was very, very interesting. So, I'm going to try to give some of those results to you tonight, if I can. Let's see here. What we got going on? Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. One of the testimonies I have from one of our, I don't know what I've shared with you guys. I can't remember all the details that I've shared with you, but one of our friends, a regular giver, regular helper, Liz PGN, sent me this today and said that about her family. She says about the vaccine. Her dad had got the shot when it first came out this year. No side effects, being great. He has diabetes. He said it actually helped clear a sinus drainage issue he was having before the shot. I thought that was pretty good. Her dad had a sinus issue that cleared a sinus drainage issue he'd been having before the shot, right? Yeah. And then his stepmom had the shot when it first came out with has Alzheimer's, no side effects, doing okay. Mom had the shot when it first came out, no side effects, she's doing fine. Grandma, 90 years old, had the shot when it first came out. She's doing fine, no side effects. And she has diabetes. Her grandma is a beautician, had the shot when it first came out. No side effects, doing okay. People are waiting, everyone's waiting for their booster shot. Side note, just something for you to know. My grandma had COVID. And God showed up and showed her that she was going to live through it and be fine, and she did. And she didn't go back home, and she did from the hospital. I thought that was interesting. Jesus showed up and showed her that she was going to make it. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was really interesting. Okay. Her beautician, who is saved, knows Jesus, had COVID last year. She said Jesus walked in her hospital room while she was awake and told her she would make it, and she did. That's her beautician. Just some things I wanted you to know. Wasn't really planning on sharing with anyone, but I decided to share it. I keep these things secret. All right. Oh, I also forgot to tell you, I had asked Jesus to visit my grandmother in the hospital, and he did. He visited her. Oh, I almost forgot, my uncles took the shot. Two of them, and on my mother's side, and they didn't have any side effects. They're doing fine and feel good. They were skeptical at first, but went on and took it. They had no problems. All four of my aunts, my dad's sisters, took it, and they are okay and feel fine, no side effects. All right. So, isn't that interesting? I thought that was pretty interesting. And I'm just reading to you what I get. And most of the people that have PGN people, 90% of them have had no side effects whatsoever and have had taken it like months ago. LaShun's father, 69-year-old, who had had dialysis for 2 years because of diabetes, got the shot and went into the hospital a little bit. And then came out and then got the second shot. She said her pastor, we can't really talk about her pastor because she didn't really know the person. I'm not going to give information without knowing that stuff firsthand. So we don't want to do any guessing or anything. So very, very interesting. I thought that was very interesting. I don't know if I've shared all this stuff or not. We're going to touch on it just for a second. Okay. Okay. I think I told you Sharon from New York said my 13-year-old grandson took two shots. He's doing fine. My daughter, who is an attorney, just took her second shot today but had no problem after the first shot. Nicole from D.C. Says that, hey, Randy, I can share my testimony. I had jab number one and jab number two and the booster, jab three, 2 weeks ago. After the first shot, only had minor sore arm. The next day and recovery time was a day or so. After the second shot, multiple symptoms, including muscle pain and fever, with a full recovery of time of 5 days. The worst day was day two. After the third jab, multiple symptoms, including muscle pain and fever, with a full recovery time of 1.5 days. I'm doing totally fine now. I had the Moderna vaccine. All right. Okay. All right. Jeannie had a friend, Jeannie from Texas, had talked to a banker on the phone. She said that her dad would have to be in his 70s or 80s, maybe early 80s. Probably only a little younger than I knew about that age. Since this is the second bout with COVID, as a fully vaccinated person, he must have been vaccinated at least 6 months ago. So in other words, I think he still got sick with COVID, even though he'd taken the vaccine, which I don't think they're saying that it's going to keep you from getting the COVID. I think they're saying now, at least now they're saying that it just keeps you from dying. You know, but I guess that's the new thing. All right. Here's someone else. I don't even know who this is, but a PGN person on my text alerts that I had the vaccine, the Pfizer. Me and my 12-year-old, she had no side effects. I had a sore arm after each shot, nothing major. They told us to drink plenty of water. I did not. I still was fine. I'm getting it for my 7-year-old as soon as they approve it. Yes, they had both shots. And Michelle talks about her father, who had that. I told you about that. Christina Maria from Mexico. Randy, most of my family have taken it, the vaccine. My son and daughter, too. None of them have had any issues. That's all I can say, loved ones. On the other hand, some customer had told me that they got it, and they went to the hospital due to complications. All right? I'm just telling you what they said. All right. And I asked her to check up on those customers, and she said she cannot find out if they had a precondition. So if you want to, if you've had the shot, or you, of course, some of you are not going to take the shot. And Christina said, and she was not going to take the shot. Maria Christina said, and I'm not going to take the shot. All right. But all of her family has, mother, all of them, and no side effects, friend. I'm just telling you what they're telling me. There's no exaggerations. There's no adding to, she said, her customers, I asked her a specific question about that. She couldn't find out. Hey, we want to know details. We want to be able to know if they had complications and after the shot, if they had prior issues, you know, medical issues. And so we're trying to find out about all that right now. This person said, I don't know who this is, our text alert. I text every day almost. So I've taken the vaccination, and I have felt good after taking it. Took the vaccination in June. I've taken both shots. After taking the shots, my shoulder was sore for 2 days on both days. Everyone has taken both shots. Family, talking with the family. The vaccinations are Moderna and Pfizer, which were taken. Some taken Pfizer and some taken Moderna, both shots. And she said she knew five people. We haven't been able to check in those five people for sure who they are, so I'm not going to talk about that. She said, I know others who have taken the vaccine, and they're doing well. Some have had different reactions. All right. Andrea from Nebraska says, I have known a few people that have taken the vaccine and got COVID anyway. On my way, one of my clients had got two-shot vaccine and got violently ill. I think he's okay now. Happened after the second dose. Okay. That's from, you know, what I'm talking about. All right. Valley from North Carolina says, I received my two doses of the vaccine. Valerie's been with us for a long time. In March, she said she received both doses of the vaccine in March and April of this year. No, it didn't. I had a minor soreness at injection site both times, but no other effects, no fever, flu-like symptoms or anything. Valerie from North Carolina. All right. So I think that's most of the ones that I have so far. Yeah. So in other words, most of the people right now, friends, from my own investigation of this, the people that we know on PGN and asking them to report what's going on with them, you see that it's about, you know, 98%, you know, nothing wrong, nothing bad. 98% so far. That may change. I was thinking 80-20. I was so far wrong about that. It's a lot less. And so if you've taken hydroxychloroquine, I think that's cool. I think anything's cool. Whatever you do, there's some condemnation here. If you've taken some kind of something like, I think some people have taken the wormer, the animal wormer. What do they call that? Ivermectin or something like that. Ivermectin, that's what it's called. Ivermectin. I have friends who take ivermectin, and they're doing good so far. I mean, they haven't had any problems. You know, they said there's problems with ivermectin, but I haven't heard of anybody having any problems. Not that I know of. All right, so I want to talk about that a little bit and kind of share, keep you guys abreast on what's going on with my research. And I'm really excited about it because I'm finding out myself instead of hearing, you know, a person had emailed me and basically called me a false prophet because I didn't believe in the vaccine hype. You know, I know there's trouble with some of it. You know, there's no question about that. But the hype is I just don't believe the hype. And so far, you can hear, you know, all these people I'm telling you, I forget their names except for one of them. And anyway. They're regular, been regular for a long time, and since I get permission to tell their name, I will. But it's people that, you know, have been helping PGN for a long time and good friends. So these are people that they're loved ones, their families. And so right now, it's not looking real good for the hyper-vaccine demonization of the vaccine. Not looking good for them because these are people that we know. You know, yeah, I have people trying to tell me stories about people, like this one lady who told me I was a false prophet. I didn't believe in the vaccine demonization, that I wasn't passing all that information on. Told me, haven't you seen that TV show where that lady, the nurse, took the shot and stood up and then passed out right there on live TV and then died? Well, I finally got a chance today to go look at that, look into that on YouTube. You can YouTube it yourself. Just look YouTube nurse who took the shot on live TV and died. And kind of find out she didn't die. She was never dead. She has a problem where when her body gets certain kinds of pain, she passes out. And they took that story and they passed it all around Facebook and all kinds of places, and she did not die suddenly. That is not a fact. I checked into it today. I checked into that today myself. So, yeah. So you know, I'm not saying some of the stories aren't true, but the thing is that it's so hard to know what somebody, you never know who you're talking to. You never know who's putting these videos out. So I'm just saying let's check them out. Like this one where that lady died instantly. I mean, kind of find out that was all a bunch of bull, that she didn't die. She testified herself on TV later that she, you know, I'm not dead, and I have a problem that when I feel pain, certain kinds of pain, I pass out. And she passed out on live TV, and they start saying she was dead from looking. So, friend, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Now, is there some real stuff out there? I'm looking for it. I'm not looking for what you saw, what we saw on YouTube or TV or whatever. You know, I want a real truth. I'm kind of like an investigator. I'm a documentation person. I'm really into, you know, searching things out. And not that I've always been able to do it perfectly, but I've been a real stickler of that. Most of you know that. And so I decided that I'm going on a search, on an investigation on my own. And so far, 98% of the people that I know and their families that I know, that I've talked to, have told me that they have had no problem with the vaccine at all. I mean, I figured they'd have we'd have at least 20%. You know, I said that last week. No 20% at all so far. It may be 30% before it's over. I don't know. All I know is that, you know, we're investigating this. And so anyway, well, let me tell you something, Fred, what God's been speaking to me about today. We are, you know, when Paul the Apostle was, you know, preaching the gospel and going about, you know, casting out devils and that kind of thing. You know, remember the guy who they tried to cast seven devils out of, tried to cast a devil out of him, and he took those seven men and he threw them around like they were nothing and just totally stripped their clothes off. Remember that in the book of Acts? And what did that demon say? He said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And the Lord starts showing me this today, that the demons are going to know us. If you're truly walking in the Spirit, the demons are going to know you. They're going to know you walk in truth. They're going to know, they know your sins. If you've got sins that are unrepented, that are not covered under the blood, they know stuff, man. They know whether you've been forgiven or not. They know. Those demons know. Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And those who they say, who are you? They're going to be stripped of their authority that they think they have publicly. And the Lord told me that, you know, we're going to start seeing this happen more and more all the time, where people are just going to, you know, totally be stripped of their covering, you know, of their clothing. Is kind of like the Bible talks about, if you don't be caught without your clothes on, you know, don't be caught naked. And so we're going to see, there's going to be a lot of naked people around. You know why? Because the demons. The Lord's telling me it's not the Lord stripping people of these things. It's not the Lord stripping them. And many times it's the devil. Because they're trying to do what Paul did or do what you do. If you walk in authority, do what I do. You can't do what somebody else is doing, friend, without walking in the Spirit of what they do. You have to walk in the calling that God has told you. If you're not walking in that and you're trying to just be like somebody else, then even if it's sincere, you're gonna be stripped. God told me. He said people are gonna be stripped of their coverings, and they're gonna be found naked, and their nakedness, their shame is going to be revealed. So, you know, this is because the demons know us. They know us. I mean, when you're anointed by God and you're walking in your calling, you may not have a ministry of casting out devils. It doesn't make any difference. The devils know people that are speaking by the Spirit, and we are coming into a place where they are going to know us. We're going to be known. We are going to know as we are known. And I'm telling you, get ready for this, because we're going to see a great bunch of exposing going on with all kinds of people and who are trying to do something that they're not called to do. And we're seeing that a lot in the prophetic realm. We're going to see it a lot in a lot of places where people are trying to do things, you know, without the true authority. Like when you try to prophesy something that's not God, people are going to be stripped naked. And it's going to be basically the devil is going to strip them, right? I mean, that's amazing to me. And so when I started seeing that, it just surprised me a little bit. It's like, you know, the demons know what they're messing with. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight, too, was, because I want to touch on several different things tonight, was how in the world does God deal with people who come against us and who fight us? And you're going to be surprised at the answer. I mean, I was totally shocked at the answer that I found with this. I mean, it totally surprised me. And so let's look at this for a second. I'm trying to find this. Go here. Hang on a second. All right, let's go here, and I'm trying to find this thing. And one of the things I want to talk about this tonight with how Satan knows the servants of God who are speaking from the authority of Christ, walking in the will of the Father. They know the difference. It's like Jesus when he walked in, you know, to a place that the devil would come out and say, you know, why have you come to torment us? They knew him. And so, you know, so when you talk bad, when people, or not you, but when people talk bad about God's servants, because the devils know, now I want you to listen to this because this is truly amazing to me. Because the devils know who is speaking the truth most of the time and who is truly anointed and who is not. And so if you are speaking evil about one of those servants of God, then what happens is the devil knows, and the devil goes and does things to those people and brings them into torment and brings them into situations that sometimes take their life even. And it's not God doing it. It's the devil doing it. They're going to think God's judging them, but God's not really dealing with them in that way. Satan is coming in, and, you know, when you speak bad about God's people, what happens is that God protects his servants, but also Satan recognizes who you're talking about. Oh, they're talking about, you know, Billy Bob. I know Billy Bob. And and the demons who know who Billy Bob is, the man of God, or Sister Billy Bob, and when they see you talking about somebody that they recognize is of God, they're going to, you open the door to them, friend, you, me, whoever you are, open the door to them because they're going like, yeah, I mean, they're sitting there talking about, you know, Billy Bob, who I know is the man of God. This is Paul I know, Jesus I know, and Billy Bob I know. But who are you? And they will strip people, they're going to strip people naked. Of course, these guys aren't talking bad about Paul and Jesus. But, you know, the devils recognize that you have no authority. So what do? They start tearing up stuff. And you open yourself to being tore up by the enemy. God's not necessarily trying to – God protects his own. God protects his servants. And that does go on, for sure. I'm going to share some of that here in a little bit, some of the ones that I've got written down here. I kind of wrote down some things of how God protects his own and how when – you or I persecute a man or a woman of God, how that the devils hear you doing that. They recognize that person, knowing that they can't really, because God's going to have to protect around those people, they can't really get them. They'll come after you and make it look like God is judging you when really what's happening is many times is that the devil has an open right to mess with you. So be careful what you talk about and who you're listening to, amen, and don't repeat what people say unless you know. That's why it says don't take an accusation of an elder without the witnesses of two or three. And why wouldn't it say that about everybody? Why does it say about make sure you have witnesses before you listen to an accusation about an elder or a man of God or a woman of God who's unknown about elders? Why? Do they have to? Because you know what? You open yourself up. When you just start blasting away at somebody, a man or woman of God, you start blasting away at them. That's why it says that there's going to be two or three witnesses, friend, because it's to stop you from opening up your mouth, you know, against those people, because what you do is you open yourself up to the enemy coming after you to strip you. That's why we're going to be careful. Because believe me, the devils have the power. When you open up, when we open up our mouth against the servants of God, it's not necessarily, well, I'm going to talk about this in many different ways. It's not necessarily always God that's coming in and stripping you. Now, God, he allows things, but Satan has entrance to come in because of your mouth and the accusations that you're accusing them with. You open yourself up to the accuser. That's why the Bible says if you're going to talk bad about an elder, you better have two or three witnesses because, I mean, you're going to open it. You're fixing to get yourself in some big trouble.
right? So be careful not to do that. It's very, very, very important to listen to that. All right. What happens? Let's talk. We're going to talk about this tonight. We're going to talk about several different things tonight. What happens when the government officials kill God's leaders and cut their heads off, like the Book of Acts? What's going to happen to those people? How is God going to deal with those government officials who kill God's leaders and cut their heads off, like he did Peter, James, and John, and those guys? What's going to happen to them? Well, we have an example here. I want you to see this. In the Book of Acts, Herod, who had James killed and Peter imprisoned, and Herod was all excited because when he killed James and imprisoned Peter, the Jewish people got all excited about it. Right? I want you to watch this. This is Acts 12, verse 1. About that time, King Herod reached out to harm some of those who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And seeing that this pleased the Jews, Herod proceeded to seize Peter during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He arrested him and put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of soldiers. You all remember that, right? Herod intended to bring him out to the people after the Passover. Now let's see how God dealt with Herod. How did God deal with a leader like of governments or religions? How did God deal with Herod? Look at this. The death of Herod. Verse 20, chapter 12, Acts 12, verse 20. Now Herod, was in furious disputing with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they convened before him. Having secured the support of Blastus, the king of Chamberlain, they asked for peace because their region depended on the king's country for food. All right. On the appointed day, here comes Herod. Herod donned his royal robes, sat on a throne, and addressed the people. In other words, Herod comes out. He killed James. He imprisoned Peter. He's really proud of himself and doesn't realize it, but something really weird is about to happen to him. Watch how God deals with him. Watch how the enemy, in a sense, is set up to get Herod to open up his mouth, and look what happens to him. So Herod, you know, arrayed in his royal robes, sat on his throne and addressed the people. And they began to shout, "This is the voice of a God and not a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord continued and spread and multiplied. Wow. Wow, isn't this amazing? This is amazing. So Herod killed James, the apostle, the brother of John, and was dealing with Peter, seized Peter and put him in prison on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He arrested him. And look how God dealt with him. Wow, isn't that amazing? Of course, we all know that Peter got set free. Well, Peter eventually died. But see, we're seeing circumstances. This is what the Lord's being to open me up to, is to let people know all the different ways that people get themselves in trouble. When you talk bad about somebody who's known among the demons as a man of God, like Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? It opens up the door for them to be able to strip you of whatever you've got going on, your wealth, your money, your family. It opens you up to that, friend. It's not necessarily God judging you. Now, in this case, with Herod, it's amazing that he got dealt with by giving a speech, and all the people got all excited. Oh, this is not the voice of a man, but the voice of God. And because he didn't give God the glory, immediately in front of all the people, in front of everybody, whom he was bragging about, killing James, bragging about, got Peter locked up. We're going to stop these people. That's for sure. I'm the big dog around here. You know what happened, right? Yeah. He got all caught up and found himself in big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. There's different Herods in the Bible, but one of the Herods, Herod the Great, was a Roman client king of Judea, referred to as Herodian Kingdom. He is known for his colossal building projects throughout Judea, including his renovating of the Second Temple, right? He renovated the Second Temple and the expansion of the Temple Mount towards its north. And so, you know, he was, you know, helping out the kingdom of God, so to speak. He was helping out the kingdom of God, right, these guys. And when you're trying to be somebody, like Herod was trying to be somebody, when he found out that killing James, the brother of John, James the Apostle, pleased the Jews who hadn't gotten saved yet, who hadn't met Jesus yet, and still believed in the old, when they saw that it pleased the Jews, then he got all wound up and he started preaching. Like, man, we got this stuff going on. He started preaching, yeah, we got these guys. I just killed James. No problem. Nothing's happened to me. I got Peter, the big boy over here, and locked up in prison, locked up in jail. Ain't nothing happened to me. You know, he starts preaching, gets all excited, feels like the anointing's coming on him. And all of a sudden, when the crowd said, "This is the voice of God, not of a voice of a man," he didn't give God the glory. The Bible says he was immediately struck down, and he was eaten by worms and died. He was eaten by worms, and then he died. In other words, the worms ate him to death. That's how devastating that is, friend. You see that? That is absolutely amazing. And when I started seeing that tonight, I'm going like, my gosh. And that's just one. We're going to talk about other ways, other things, the way God deals with people, and how that Satan also moves in and deals with people too. You'd think, we'll talk about one more person real quick, because you kind of know the situation. I don't have the exact scripture right in front of me, but it's talking about Paul the Apostle. Before he became Paul, he was Saul. What did Saul do? What did Saul do? He was killing Christians. He was killing the believers. He was on fire for God, Pharisee, who hadn't met Christ yet, didn't know Christ. He was fighting for the law and the prophets, right? A very zealous, good man. And when they were stoning Stephen, he was holding his clothes. He was saying, yeah, he got approval to do this stuff, to kill Christians. How does God deal with people who kill Christians? Well, a lot of different ways. I was surprised at all the different ways. So here's another way that God deals with people who kill and wound his people. Here's another way, completely different way. Paul the Apostle, you already know the story. He leaves there after stoning Stephen, a precious man who God was using, signs and wonders, miracles. And he gets on his horse, and he's riding off to Damascus to kill some more Christians, to do his thing. And what did God do? Strike him dead? No, he struck him, but he knocked him off his horse, and he blinded him. And then he sent a prophet while he was blinded and struck down, couldn't see, where he couldn't keep that murderous rage going on. And he sent Ananias, a prophet, to go prophesy to him and said, "You're going to be greatly used by God, but you're going to suffer a whole lot." So what did he do? He was killing Christians. How did God handle it? This one. How did he handle this one? He knocks him off his horse, gets him saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and is sent to us Gentiles to establish the Gentile churches. Amazing. Truly amazing, friend. So God doesn't always, you never know when somebody's coming against you. You may be thinking, yeah, God's going to get you. You're going to be like Herod. You're going to be eaten up with worms. Well, that could happen for sure. But somebody in their zeal comes against you, like Paul, when he came against Stephen and had Stephen killed, and he had a document to be able to do it. He had legal authority, if you will, to kill the Christians. Jesus believers. And you would think God would just whack him too. But what did he do? He knocked him off his horse, blinded him, and won him to Jesus, man. Isn't that amazing? And Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, man. He was a religious leader of religious leaders. And God says, I like this guy, and he got him. And we now know that Paul wrote, you know, most of the New Testament. And it's truly amazing, friend. You never know when people come against you what's going to happen. You just need to bless them and do good to them. Just like Stephen did. Stephen blessed and forgave. He said, Father, don't hold this against him, just like Jesus did on the cross. And what happened? Stephen was used to usher in Paul the Apostle for the Gentiles, for us Gentiles. Isn't that amazing, y'all? I mean, that is amazing. And then we're going to go to other people, too. We're going to share different things with you. So you kind of get an idea of what we're about to face and what we're about to go through in the future and how God's going to deal with things. The recognition, this is all really about the recognition. Not only the angels recognize you and when you're walking in God's will, but the demons recognize you. Yeah, and they're going to try to counterfeit God's judgment in many ways, many facets, many forms. Now, sometimes God will open up a door for them to do it, and they can strip you naked of your stuff where you can't function and do anything because they just strip you naked. You know, in Paul's case, you know, Saul, he knocked him off his horse. It was an angel that did that. The Lord Jesus was in control of that situation completely, right? Yeah, so you never know. That's why we need to get a broad understanding of how God has dealt with people who hurt his people, who wound his people. Sometimes God may have them strike you like Paul struck Stephen, and out of Stephen's mouth came pure forgiveness and love. He said, Father, forgive him, for he didn't know what he's doing. They don't know what they're doing. What happened? It opened up the door for God to save him. You never know. Sometimes God might smite them, and they might die of worms. They might be eaten up by worms. They might just, before they hit the ground, they're eaten up with worms and dead. You know, it's not up to us. Ananias and Sapphira were struck immediately. You never know, friend. And they weren't really coming against God's people, but they were coming against God's purpose. They were trying to defile the church with a lie, about a money lie. And God struck them. Yeah, we're going to talk about these things. And it's about recognition. God said, we're coming to a place of who do you say that I am? And who do the demons say that you are? And who do the angels say that you are? And who does God say that you are? That's what matters, friend. It's what God says you are and what God's making you. Then the demons are going to know you. They're going to go, well, stay away from him, man. Stay away from her. She'll whoop up on you bad. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to see this happen. This is going to go on and on and on and on. And on. Recognition. 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 Are you going to be stripped naked? The Bible talks about the book of Revelation, how that having do not be caught without your clothes on, meaning your spiritual clothing, to be caught in sin, because your nakedness will be revealed and Satan will shame you. Sometimes God will open up the door for you to be shamed too, but Satan is going to shame you, just like he stripped those guys because they were trying to do something that they weren't called to do, trying to be something, right? Yeah. So this is what we're going to start seeing, recognition. Who does God say that you are? And who do men say that you are? Who do men say that you are? Well, men may be calling you a lot of things, a false prophet, whatever. I've been called a little bit of a lot of things. But I'm telling you, friend, when God recognizes you and you please him and you do what he says, it doesn't matter what they call you. God may be using it to stir them up against you, to save them, to bring them down to the ground so they can be raised up by God. Other times he may use them as an example to smite them in front of everybody or strip them of their clothing, strip them and make them naked before all to see. Amen? Y'all see what I'm saying tonight? All right, cool. So we are at it tonight and seeing what's going on. So thanks for being with us. We're so glad that you're here and glad you're listening, glad you're paying attention to what's going on, what God's doing. We had some great testimonies, and we'll share those testimonies during the week of words that we've given, like Thursday, this last Thursday. Really interesting. Paulette sent in a testimony about a word that I gave over her daughter on Thursday, and we're going to share that maybe tomorrow night. But very exciting. God's doing all kinds of little things. We're getting ready to we're talking to a CPA. I've already paid for it, waiting for them to show up. We've got an hour with a CPA to find out how to set up the PGN family trade, how to design it and do it right where it can't be, you know, intruded on or whatever. So be praying with us about that. Very, very important. We, like I say, already paid for it. $214 for an hour with CPA. Is that cheap? I don't know. I've never paid a CPA before, but we're paying a CPA to help us set up, make sure that we're getting all done correctly. And very exciting. So that process is still in working. We're trying, before we sign any deals and seal any deals with any trading companies, we're trying to make sure we got our corporation set up right. But I think we're going to have to set up instead of a 501c3, which we already have, we're going to set up a 501c2, I think is what it's called, to get that organization going. And that'll be the organization that will be able to do the trading in the market for the family of God, the PGN family. So I'm finding out more information. I don't have the day of the appointment with the CPA, but it's been paid for already, and the appointment's being set up, and they're probably doing research on everything so they can answer all my questions within an hour, I hope. So pray for that. We're going to do everything completely legal, completely, perfectly legal, as God gives it to us. So, yeah, it's a little bit deeper than I thought, but it's really kind of interesting because I think we're studying it for the future in a great way. So if you're part of the PGN family, get ready because I believe God's going to bless. And, yeah, so all kind of little things going on, but that's the nutshell version. Anyway, good to be with you tonight. Thank you for being with us. And, yeah, so we're getting all kinds of response to the vaccine. If you're a Christian and you want to share your vaccination or non-vaccination, if you're taking hydroxychloroquine or whatever you're taking, and ivermectin, which is a dewormer type thing, a lot of people are taking that, let me know what you're doing. Let me know what you're taking. And if you don't want me to give your name, I will give your name. All right. I will keep it quiet. It'll be between me and you. And I want to get a true report on this so that we can have our own report, our own investigative report. And all right. So thank you for being with us tonight. All right. Good to be with you. Let's take our callers tonight, see what's going on. Hang on just a second here. All right, let's take our callers tonight and see what's going on. We have one person with their hand up tonight, two people with their hand up. All right, so let's take callers tonight and see what's up with this. All right, 205-531, who I talk to you, where you're from, please. All right, 205-531. All right, I don't know who that is, but all right, 720-682. Let me talk to you real quick, please.
It's Mike, Colorado.
Hey, man, what's going on? What are you up to?
Not much, man. Awesome word. It's an awesome word. I was actually on Angie's last night, her show, and, you know, that's what I was seeing, too, a transition, and your word's always spot on. Amazing word, but I'll let you say whatever you're saying. But yeah, we're just sitting here on the land, just doing a little bit of building, and things are starting to move. I can feel the shifting in the atmosphere, and it's that's amazing. That it's the Jewish year. That really shocked me. I didn't know that, but there's a huge full moon, at least up here in Colorado, and I mean, you can just feel, like, the stillness, everything else. I don't know. Something is shifting. Something is happening. And, you know, the word that the Lord gave me this year was it was the year of the suddenlies. And I think that you know, I always saw when the shift came that, you know, what I imagined, what I
felt the Holy Spirit was showing me was there's going to be a suddenly. And things are just, you know. But, yeah.
That's cool. You're cutting up on me.
Who does God say I am? You know, man has a whole bunch of opinions about us. Definitely about me. Definitely probably about you as well. And I guess in this hour we're going to find out what God says about us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember one night, I think you came out. I think I was prophesying over you and Veronica. I can't remember exactly. And that word came out.
Exactly,
I remember that. Yeah. I thought about that, you know, because I was, you know, when I hear the Lord prophesying to people, many times I'm learning myself. You know, I'm like going, wow, that's cool. I never thought about it quite like that. And then, you know, a few days later, I don't remember exact timing, but I get the word about that, about he knows our name and the whole thing about the realm of authority and where all that's going to go. And it's pretty cool. I'll get more into it later, but I kind of just got the surface of it tonight. But, yeah, there's something going on with all that. So
there were two words I got. It was almost an audible voice last night, the one I sent you. Was it Luke 17 where it talks about, you know, everyone's eating and drinking and, you know, and then Noah entered the ark and it was just done. And then, you know, and then it goes on to talk about Lot's wife and, you know, they told him to leave and she looked back and she got burnt. But it was in that moment. I mean, it was right there and that there'll be two in the field, you know, that whole scripture. But, you know, that was a word and I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me that's now. That's now. That's before you gave that word tonight. So it's something's happening. But the bride has made herself ready. The bride has made herself ready through communion, through all the stuff that we've been doing. At least PGM family has made themselves ready. So I hope that for all my brothers and sisters that they took this time since COVID and since Biden got in to make themselves ready. Because you're right, sin opens the door, and it's not God. It's the devil. Has a legal right. These are legal rights. Zion has laws, just like this. The country we live in has laws, and it's our, you know, to find ourselves rightly dividing the word in truth and understanding that's our duty to enter into this. And I you know, we're going to find out who's ready and who's not, right?
Yeah, and you know, there's still people getting ready, but. Yeah, there are people that are ready. There's different levels. There are people that are ready, and you know, the devils know their name, and God knows our names, and you know, so we're going to enter into this thing about the name, you know, where there's that one scripture in Revelation where it talks about he wrote a name that no one knew. You know, not a name that no one knew, but just them and God, you know. So there's this thing about the name, you know, that God gives us. And so it's a name that, I don't know if I said exactly, but.
It's in Revelations, and then he goes on to talk about tribulation, and I will spare you from the time of tribulation that's going to affect the horror.
Okay, all right.
The other verse is right there. It's two verses that God gave me together.
What verses? I mean, the ones I'm talking about now, or what are we going?
Yeah, the one that you had that God will write a name upon the forehead that nobody knows but him. And, man, is that Revelation 10 or 11? And then shortly after it, it talks about spare them from the tribulation that's going to affect the whole world. There's a verse in Revelation shortly after it says that. Those two just shot out at me. And what I always gathered was, you know, I never thought about, like you said, I think it's a false doctrine that we're going to be ushered out. I think we're going through it, but I do think the narrative that you said, that God's going to have places of refuge for us and those who have the names that's written upon their forehead. You know, I think there's many levels of different Christians. Like some Christians are going to be able to make, you know, it says John the Revelator saw a little bit after that. He said, who are all these people before the throne? When the angel says, let me show you the bride. And he says, these are those who cleanse themselves from a great tribulation. So I do believe there's going to be a lot of martyrs as we go into this season, but there's also those who are going to go into millennium. And I believe those who are, I think there's different levels depending on, you know, the reward we get as, you know.
Yeah, well, the scripture talks about, you see it in the book of Acts, let me see, I'm trying to find that scripture, hidden name, Revelation 2, A hidden name, a white stone, and a new name. That's Revelation 2:17. Let me see if I can find that here. Revelation 2:17. I'm trying to. This is all fresh, so I'm just getting it.
Yeah, let me look this one too. I'll look it up too while you're in it.
Let's see. Jesus. Good man at Watchstone, Revelation 2:17. Let me just go there for that. Revelation 2:17.
Okay, Revelation 3:10 here. And since you have kept my commandments to endure patiently, I'll also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth.
Right. Yeah, we're going to be hidden in a secret place. We're going to see the reward of the wicked. You know, Psalm 91 talks about that. God's going to hide us. He's going to protect us. We're going to be hidden in Christ. You know, and then some people are going to be martyrs. I mean, you see it all through there. You have Christians who are going to be, like the book of Acts is probably the most perfect way. Like John the Revelator was never touched, and yet all the other 11 were, you know, including Paul, was taken out, you know, eventually. But
Randy,
what's going to be the,
just real quick. Why do you always talk about people being martyred every time we talk? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Go on, brother.
Yeah. I don't have a clue, man. You tell me.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I know that there are going to be people like the two witnesses. You know, they're going to be martyred after they do their job. You know, they're not going to be able to be touched. That's the thing that we've got to get a hold of. It's just like we see tonight about all the different ways that God deals with people that hurt his prophets or hurt his servants or do his people bad. You know, Herod killed James, and what happened to him? He went out there and started preaching, felt the anointing. People said, man, you're awesome. And he didn't give God the glory, and he was eating up with the worms in front of everybody. And yet, on the other hand, Paul the Apostle, Saul is killing one of his prized possessions, God's prized possessions, you know, Stephen, and martyred him. And then a little bit later, he knocks him off his horse and saves him, you know. And then you have where, you know, other scriptures are where, you know, the word God does, you know, different things to different people. But, you know, so you never really know, you know, what's going to happen. And so but we've got to get a broad view of what's going to go on. And the book of Acts is probably the most precise idea, image of what it's going to be like. And the church is going to be glorious. The church is going to be, you know, raising the dead, healing the sick. I mean, it's going to be amazing. The two witnesses are going to be doing their thing. They can't be touched until they're finished. I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, Satan is going to be ruling in his highest level. And at the same time, he's not going to be able to kill the two main prophets because, you know, they're not finished with their job yet. When they finish their job, then they go out. Until then, you can't touch them. Fire comes out of their mouth and destroys their enemies. That's one way God destroys that their enemies that come when they come against the two witnesses. And fire comes out of their mouth and destroys them. It says anybody who tries to stop what they're doing, not like them or not believe in them, but tries to stop them from what they're doing, then fire comes out of their mouth and destroys him. He said, and everybody who does it will die from that. And so you see all these, and yet they can't be touched by the Antichrist or by anybody. Not the armies of anybody's armies. Can't touch them until their prophecy's over. That's Revelation 11. And so people got to realize that this image that we have been gotten, that we're not appointed to wrath, and what that means is when wrath comes like never before, we're not appointed to wrath, and so we're all going to be out of here. But and so just like you saying that scripture about being kept from the wrath, you know, it's all the same thing. It's just like what's always been in the Bible. What's always been in the Bible? How did God protect his people from the wrath? Different ways. And you know, so in Israel, the wrath of God was being poured out on Egypt. Israel was right there. Not one thing came near their dwelling until the last plague, and then he gave a way to protect themselves by putting the blood of the covenant over their doorposts. Then they walked out with their money. Then they walked out with the financials. So so you look through the whole Bible, and you know, in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. It says he swept them all away. He didn't sweep Noah away. Noah got, they floated around in the boat for, 40 days, however long it was. They floated around in the boat. They didn't go anywhere. They were still on the earth. They never left the earth. They were floating around. And the enemy was swept away. They were the ones that were taken. One shall be taken, one shall be left. And it's right above that scripture. What does it say? Who was taken? Not Noah. The enemy was taken. They were swept away. And people have quoted that scripture so many times. I said, have you even read that scripture without Twisted Sister helping you interpret it? No, Prophet so-and-so told me that. I'm going, why don't you go read the Bible for yourself, friend? And interpret that we're not appointed to wrath according to the way God has always done it. Not one little moment of one little time, but how he's always done it. So, but they don't do that. And it's Twisted Sister. Twisted Sister goes at it, man. And, I mean, she just messes it up big time and gets these people thinking all this stuff. And then they're not prepared, like you're talking about. The preparation is everything. But people who think they're going to be going, oh, we don't care who the Antichrist is going to be. Well, whatever. We don't care what's going to go on during the tribulation because we're not going to be here. So what does that mean, brother? That they haven't been prepared. They're not ready.
And that's
going to be horrible.
And I think that's a heresy. And you talked about the consequences of these doctrines. It talks about the doctrines of Baal, the doctrines of Nicolaitans, but these doctrines that we embraced, I mean, they really were that damnable because they really, people aren't going to be prepared for what's coming. And I know your words are accurate. I'm kind of accurate, and I know the other people that I've walked with and our prophets are accurate, and we're all saying the same thing. And these doctors, I don't think they realized how bad it was, the prosperity gospel, the other gospels that really, I mean, it led into all this to where, when this transition of time happened, and it really is, and people were missing, they were not prepared for this, the majority.
Yeah. I watched, Julie and I went to the movie, Tammy Faye, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. We went to the movie. Uh-huh. It was called Through Tammy's Eyes. So Tammy had, before she died, she had this movie, produced. And so Julie and I went to see it, man. I mean, I'm going to talk about that this week, but I got a revelation from that movie that, oh, my God. Anyway, so we'll talk about that later, But the thing about doctrines is that we have a lot of great people, a lot of God-fearing, wonderful people who love Jesus who have been taught doctrines all their life. And some doctrines have really just caused people to not be prepared, and that's the sad part about them. And that's why I despise them so much. It's not because they're, I've had false doctrine. I've had things I believe that were, shaded and, not right. And God had to straighten me out. But the whole thing is that if you have doctrines that have to do with the end times, that you're going to be here and you need to be prepared for, because God's going to – you're not appointed to wrath. In other words, appointed means you don't have an appointment with it. That's what appointed means, an appointment. So if we don't have an appointment, that means we're born again. Who has an appointment with wrath? The people who don't know Jesus. They're the only ones who have an appointment with wrath at whatever level that is, whether it's eternal wrath, which is – the wrath of hell, which is wrath in itself, or the wrath on the word of on the earth that comes that God brings. We're not appointed to that because we don't have an appointment with wrath. Unless you're walking in direct rebellion against God, that's the only time Israel ever experienced wrath, is when they were deliberately and willfully, year after year after year, walking in arrogance against God. Then God came and he dealt with them in some really hard ways. But other than that, you don't have an appointment with wrath, friend. It's not going to come. It's not coming to visit you. If you show up with a wrath appointment, you got the wrong appointment. You need to recheck your appointment book because you don't have an appointment with wrath. And when wrath comes, it's not coming to visit you. Just like in Egypt, wrath didn't come. The last plague, when it came, the angel of death came, it came all through Egypt. There was not one part of Egypt that it didn't touch. Just like eventually, there's not going to be one point of the earth that the wrath of God is not going to touch. But those who have the blood over their doorposts, like the Israelites did, when that wrath comes at that level, it's not going to come near your inside your house. It's not going to come near you. It's not going to come inside your house. And so, you know, that's kind of it in a nutshell. So people just totally misconstrue Scripture amazingly to come up with some of that twisted sister stuff, man. Anyway, you don't get me into that stuff. I get really wrapped up. You know that.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's I think the other thing that really hit me tonight was, you're right. I mean, this is a time of persecution, and we're having people come against us, but we don't know if they're going to be like Paul. And I think it's something we're all going to have to watch is how we deal with them and let God have his proper time. And really pray on that, because you're right. Some of them are going to be like Apostle Paul, and some of them are going to smite. It's a different kind of warfare.
Yeah, some people are going to be, you never know. So Jeff is trying to ask him if you can lead taking communion tonight. You want to take communion tonight?
Ken, what? What did you say?
So Jeff is wanting to take communion tonight. What's up with that?
Yeah, let's take communion.
I mean, what?
Why not? Can we pray over the era and take communion? I think that's awesome.
No, I mean, I'm saying we can. I'm asking, what's the purpose? Is there a purpose behind it, or are you just feeling led to do it?
Jewish holiday. New year. New era.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it. Of course we can. I've got communion right here.
Can you take this time and prophesy over the body of Christ? I mean, I think everyone probably would rather hear that than a prophecy over me.
Yeah. Well, of course. And so we are, but the thing is, we didn't prepare everybody for this, so I guess we can just tell people right now. We're going to give them a few minutes. The thing about just doing it on out of the blue like this is that it's not that I don't want to do it. It's that getting people, if everybody's going to take it with us tonight, then they have to go, then they need to go get it together. That's the reason I'm asking you. I take communion every day, so it's not a thing to me. But and I think you take me off speakerphone, if you're on speakerphone, because it's really noisy in my ear.
Yeah, no problem. Hello?
I mean, a lot of noise, a lot of background noise. And it's very, very disturbing. Okay, thank you. Wow. Holly.
Woo!
All
right.
Okay.
Right, all right.
All right, so let's give people a minute to take it. Hang on a second. Okay, so I guess we're going to take communion tonight. I didn't think about the Jewish holiday thing. I think I would love to do that. I've got communion right here, so I don't have to go anywhere.
Not just a Jewish holiday, but you're talking about a new era. You're talking about a new time, a transition in the body, an awakening, a reformation.
Right. Yeah, the 16th was Yom Kippur, and I think that's over, right? Yom Kippur is finished. Does it last? How many days does Yom Kippur last? Anybody know?
And you remember... You remember last year, or it was 2 years ago, I mean, I remember because I was prayer walking, right? But every feast day landed on a full moon, on a blood moon. It was the blood moons.
Right.
And I'm just saying, so, I mean, it seems like God's doing something really significant on these feast days. I mean, really, I don't know, it just came through, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't really get into the Jewish days. I talk about them. I do what God tells me to do, and if what I'm doing on that day fits in with it, which I've had a lot of people tell me that, oh, you knew today was so-and-so day, right? I said, no, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. No, today is, you know, and then you're talking about this. I'm going, wow, that's cool. Honest to God, I really wouldn't know. So it's all great. It's all good. It's all God. But as far as me following them, and adhering to all of them every time, all the time, and talk about them all the time, I don't do that. If people want to find out about that, I'm sure there's other people that talk about that more than I do. But I believe in them. I have friends. You know, I've you know, I talk about them at times. But it's not something I wrap myself around to make sure that I celebrate it.
You know, this is the first I heard about it, too. I don't really follow it either, but when somebody says it and all this stuff is happening and you're talking about an era, I'm like, wow. You know, I'm sitting out here looking at this.
I've been talking about an era for a long time, but yeah, it's really happening in November, November the 7th. Yeah, we entered into a new era somewhere around that. I don't know the exact day.
With Biden, right?
Yeah, with Biden. That was 11/34. That was a new era, and that's what God told me. So yeah, we've entered into that, and there's going to be a lot of things going to happen because of that. I think that maybe a lot of the Jewish feasts that we celebrate. That are celebrated are going to have more significance to them. But here's the problem. I definitely honor them as far as, you know, what God tells me to do it. I mean, I'm all for it, of course, no question about it at all. It's a God thing. But as far as him instructing me, I have seen while people are getting ready to get their communion ready, we can take communion tonight. I'm always ready to take communion. While they're getting their communion ready, I want to talk about this a little bit because the problem that I've had with rabbis, Jonathan Cahn, who is a great teacher, he shares stuff, man, that is amazing. But even he, as great as he is and a great teacher that he is, you know, a few years ago, as we all know, I've talked about this many times, that he was saying that all these Jewish feasts were lining up, and sure enough, there's going to be an economic turn on a certain day because the Jewish feast. They were all lining up, and he did a great job of bringing them all out and talking about them. And he wrote books about them and made millions of dollars on his books. But about a month or so before it was supposed to happen, and he had the whole world, the whole globe, the whole body of Christ, talking about the Harbinger and what was going to happen on this particular feast day, the Jewish feast day. And if he's a man of God, this is going to happen because, you know, God's word says so. And, dude, about a month or two beforehand, you know, God is my witness. I did it right here on the show. I did it publicly. The Lord said for me to tell people that ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So I came on the show 2 months before this, and it's a big, big deal. He was on CBN. I mean, it was on CNN. He was on Fox News, on Daystar, on TBN. This is going to happen on this day. It's going to be, get ready. It's going to be the, you know, we're going to see. And the Lord, you know, said, tell them that is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. And I mean, dude, he had it all wrapped around the scripture, did a beautiful job of it. But you know what? It wasn't right. It wasn't right. So, you know, I pay attention to all of it. But when God tells me something's going to happen according to the Jewish feast, then I prophesy it. You know, he'll show me, he'll tell me. But if he doesn't, like I had to rebuke Jonathan Cahn. Jonathan Cahn's a great guy. He's a great man of God. But he had it really, really bad wrong and apologized about a year later, maybe a few months later, came out on YouTube. I kept waiting for him to apologize. And he apologized and said, I missed it. I totally missed it. So here's the problem with all that is that do I believe in it? Absolutely. Absolutely. The scripture on the day of Pentecost, Pentecost was poured out, and the book of Acts began. It's on the very day, that Jesus died was Passover, on the very day. I mean, nobody could have orchestrated that. It was God all the way around. But here's the you brought this up, not me. So, when people are getting the communion ready, I don't follow, I don't care who they are, whether they're a Jew or a Gentile, calling themselves rabbi or habbi. I don't care what they call themselves. I've been to the greatest seminaries in the whole world, and I've graduated, and I've got this big church, and I'm on TBN, and I'm on Daystar, and I'm out there, and I'm telling you, and if God tells me that what they're saying is wrong, dude, I'm going to tell the people and the world that that's wrong. I don't know why it's wrong. It's not me that's saying it's wrong. The Lord says it's wrong. So I'm careful that I don't follow Jewish rabbis. I listen to them, but if God doesn't confirm to me that that's right, I will publicly rebuke them because I don't have a respecter of persons or Jew or Gentile, educated, not educated, TBN, Daystar, wherever they. I don't have any respect for any of them as far as the word of the Lord goes. As a Jew, that's different. But as a prophet saying something and God tells me that ain't going to happen, then I will come out and say it. I don't care who they are, what their name is, and how many rabbis they got behind their name. It doesn't make a hill of beans to me, bro. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. You know, so I have to go by what God's telling me. And if God's not telling me to do something, then I don't do it because he doesn't tell me. And that's my responsibility as a prophet for PGN, the head of PGN under Christ. If he's not telling me to do something, friend, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what anybody says.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay? So there you go.
Yeah.
I want to set that straight.
Do you
want
to take communion?
Well, yeah. It has nothing to do with, not taking communion.
Right, hey, real quick. Jeff just texted me. You haven't had the Colorado boys on for a while, so can you get Jeff on too?
Yeah. Absolutely.
He always stirs you up as well.
Yeah. Hey, man.
We're going to stir you up. We miss those times.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, that's great.
I agree with you.
What's up,
Jeff? I don't know anything about what holiday it is or anything. I just felt the need to take communion and just felt like something came over me to tell you we need to take it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Just praying.
That's okay. Yeah. No, I take communion every day. So I don't have a certain thing that I do it or a certain reason that I do it other than the fact God told me to do it every day. And so I do it every day. So communion to me is like, yeah. And if somebody wants to feel led to do that, you know, what could be wrong with that? The thing that we got to do is when somebody feels led, I listen to my brothers and sisters. I listen to them. I listen to what they say. Even if it's not exactly what I'm getting exactly, because I think maybe they're seeing this from a different perspective than I am, so I open myself up to them. So that's what I'm saying to you guys. Of course, you know, can we take communion? You know, as long as, and this is what Jeff just said, there is no, you know, as long as somebody's not saying, Randy, I want you to do communion tonight because there's a Jewish feast, and because of that, this is going to happen. And if God tells me that's going to happen, then I'll say it's going to happen. If you guys want to say it's going to happen, then you guys can say it's going to happen. It's up to you. You can say it right here on the show. I'll let you. I don't mind. But for me to go, yeah, that's right or not right, my job is to protect the prophet, the name of the prophet, because we're talking about names and honor and respect for the name of the prophet. A lot of prophets have shamed their name. They still have a name before God. But through all the Trump era and a lot of the stuff that went on there, they shamed their name. That's why God's speaking to me right now about name. So maybe that's what we need to take communion about is the name thing, the whole thing I'm talking about with Mike tonight about the name thing. I keep trying to find that scripture about the stone. Nobody found that for me yet. Is that Revelation 2:17? Is that where that's at?
Yeah, I already found it. Didn't you find it? Let me look it up.
Or no,
Jeff,
I need somebody to find it.
Look up that real quick, that he'll write a name upon the forehead. Just type that in real quick, just quick.
Yeah, no problem.
I mean, somebody needs to get, just help me find this stuff. Because
Jeff's good.
Okay.
Wow, that's amazing.
He hasn't here. Okay, let me read this. Let me read this to you guys. We may be going somewhere. Maybe this is why Jeff feels led to take communion. You guys feel led to take communion. Maybe, you know, if him being stirred up, you guys being stirred up, I yield to you. I yield to you as brothers. And so that's why we're going to do this. Revelation 2:17 says, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoa, that's good. To the one who overcome, to the one who overcomes, I will give him the hidden manna. So what are we talking about a while ago? About he who overcomes. In other words, he who's prepared. Preparation means you're overcoming, right? If you're not being prepared, you're going to be defeated. But overcoming means that you're prepared, right? Right. To the one who overcomes, or the one who's prepared for the battle, I will give the hidden manna. I love that, the hidden manna. Not just any manna, but the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone inscribed with a new name, known only to the one who receives it. Whoa. Wow. Dude, that.
And shot Bob Wolf. And just real quick, you remember you had the whole thing about the angels knowing the name. But the one who knows it, but God writing that, I'm sure they may not know the name, but they know that it's written. And wheats and the tares, separation, wheats and the tares, the name. Angels know the name. I mean, you went on for that for months. So I think the name is really important. Abraham became Abraham. Everybody, as they were promoted, they got a new name. They came in. Maybe as we transition from sons to daughters to bride and groom kind of relationship, there's a new name, just like when Abraham went forward.
Yeah, I like that. That's really cool. And he gave, like Saul became Paul. Jacob became Israel. I like that. There's something going on with this tonight. So maybe that's why we're supposed to take communion tonight, is because God writing the name, his name. So when and the same thing with Satan. When Satan came to Job and went to Job, you know, because God said, "Have you considered Job?" You know, wasn't the devil already knew that God put a hedge around him. He said, "Yeah, I've been trying to mess with Job for a long time, but you got a hedge around him. Yeah, I know Job's name, all right, but I can't get to him because there's a hedge around him." He said, "You remove that hedge, and let's see what he does." You know, so it's like, you know, Satan knows those that have been hedged in by God. And so anytime God allows that hedge to be removed temporarily, it's because he's going to increase us. You got to think about that. That's going to be important. I think the hedge from a lot of people, God's fixing to grow their hedges. He's fixing to double their hedge. And so what does he do? He allows people to go through a time of trouble so that they can grow their hedge bigger. And so God's getting ready to grow some hedges. And so, friend, you know, just like with Job, you know, God gave permission to Satan to do anything but kill him. You can't kill him, but you can do anything else you want to. And he did, and he tried everything. And it was amazing. And we got through with that. I think Job had a new name after that. I don't know. I think they still called him Job, but there was something about, you know, Job after that. And so, anyway, anybody find those scriptures y'all want to get out there? Did Jeff find it? Was he looking for the scripture? Anybody?
I was led to Revelations 14:4. I didn't get to the name on the forehead
okay.
yet.
Okay, 14:4. Let's go there.
There's another scripture that, you know, it says the earth and everything came against the woman that was in the wilderness. And I don't know why, but it's coming to me. And then God arose. He arose and he defended her. And it talks about that's Revelation, I believe, 20:21. But it talks about the woman who was led into the wilderness, you know. And
right.
I don't know. I'm thinking about Moses going back into Egypt and, you know, that he was definitely cloaked with power. When Moses went back in, he had authority. There was an authority given for the time. There's an authority given to Joshua when he went in. There has to be a transition of authority. There has to be something tangible that happens that allows the Pentecost.
Right. Yeah, because now the Holy Spirit had come upon the new ministry team or the new priesthood. All right, Jeff, you want to read that, or you want me to read it, or 14:4?
Oh, Revelations 14, I can start here at 1.
Okay.
And I looked, and lo, and stood on the Mount Zion, and with him in 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were it redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because he has made all nations drink of wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of there ascendeth up forever and ever, and they no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whoever receiveth the mark.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
Wow.
Dana. And there's no rest for those who worship the beast and its image, for anyone who receives the mark of its name. There's a name thing again.
Don't you think that's funny that they're getting a name and we're getting a name, that there's names? Like, it's not just for that. When Satan fell, Lucifer fell, he became Satan. I mean, like, it's on both sides. When there's a transition, when someone goes into their purpose, it's almost like there's another name given.
Right. Yeah, Jeff, anything you want to say about that, what you just read?
I've never read that verse.
Okay.
I just heard Revelation 14, never read that aloud in the beginning.
Oh, interesting.
But I just felt like when I told you about God's communion, it felt like God's government's being established, the body of Christ. You're talking about things changing around, and it's God establishing a
right.
government right now.
Well, that's awesome, man. Woo! Yeah, I feel that. Dear God, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, because as the government is being formed for, you know, under the Biden administration, going toward the, you know, the Antichrist, or whatever you want to call it, one world government, one world religion, that as that's being formed, I mean, I think literally it's one thing about it being formed under, you know, underground where nobody knows about it. It's a whole other thing for it to be unveiled. Like when I had the dream about the Antichrist being unveiled. Right? The casket was literally, he was in a casket. I don't know why in a casket, in a wooden casket. And the lid was lifting. And all of a sudden, as the lid was lifting, I found myself automatically on the other side of the casket. And I started swinging the sword, right? And the demons were crying. And Satan had showed up to the window to watch the unveiling. And, of course, the sword then hindered it from happening. Why was I going there with that?
It's
about the
reveal. The whole world eagerly awaits for the unveiling of the two sons and daughters.
Yeah, so the government. Yeah, there you go. The government thing that Jeff is talking about, you guys are talking about, is that the government being, you know, God is setting forth a government. One of the things I'm talking about it right now that God has given me, the book of Acts, is called that establishing the throne room. Like when Ananias and Sapphira walked in and they were going to bring their deceptive money into, you know, deceptive money. Think about that. The money, the money realm, deception realm of money and the lie, they were going to defile the body of Christ with that. Fresh, new, pure, brand new covenant. And because there was a throne established or a kingdom or a government, in a sense, that what happened? Peter and John they didn't deal with them. No, God dealt with them. Why? Because there was a government. There was a throne room set up to where when people come in and deliberately and willfully, and God only knows how deliberate and willful it is, and only God knows whether he's going to knock them off their horse and get them saved because they're doing stuff, or he's going to turn them into worms, you know, kill them they're going to be eaten with worms, or they're just going to die in front of everybody. Or whatever the thing is, only God knows how he's going to judge that, we don't know unless he shows us. As Peter said, you're not lying to me, you're lying to God. What does that mean? There was a throne room. That government of God was established. And this is what God has spoken to me. I'm so glad you guys brought this up tonight, that God has spoken to me about. This is what he's about to do. This is what he's doing. And when you talk about the name, you're talking tonight, we were talking about the name. And also what Jeff read here, and no one could learn. It said they sang a new song. I love this. They sang a new song before the what? Oh, my God, I just saw this. Before the throne, dude. Oh, my God. They sang a new song before the throne. What throne? The throne of God that he's setting in the earth. And watch this. Watch what Jeff just read it. But you got, and he sang a new song. It was a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women. So what was he singing? A new song. What was we talking about earlier? That no one knew the name except the person and the Lord. The new song, no one can learn the song. Look at all this stuff about where nobody knows the name, the new name God's given, and nobody can sing the new song that's coming along that's before the throne of God. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
Randy, think about the parable of the talents and establishing. There's a lot of things to that parable, but establishing a new covenant in the money realm of a new wave of banking and doing things based on the parable of the talents.
Yeah, let's go there. Parable talents. This is all fresh, y'all. We know this was not planned. Believe me, this was not planned. Which is one of the ways I like it anyway.
The talent one is about him coming with his reward. And he rewards the servant. And, you know, he takes away the one that didn't do anything. But, you know, it's right after the vineyard one, too, where, you know, he says he goes and he sends all these people. And then finally he says, I'll come and see what they've done. And they kill all the servants. They said, let us take the inheritance for ourselves. And then he comes to see this wickedness and talks about the judgment out there.
Yeah. Wow, hang on a second. I'm trying to get to that scripture here. I got too much. Matthew, hang on a second. Matthew 25:14. Yes, 25:14. Let's just look at it just to see kind of what's going on here. I'm just going, this is all fresh. This is all spontaneous. That these guys know, I did not ask them to call in. Right, you guys? Did I ask y'all to call in? Do this? No. All right, it's all fresh. For it's just like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his possessions. I love that. His possessions. Yeah. God is entrusting us with his possessions. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. The servant, this is perfectly talking about us, and the servant who had received the 5 talents went at once and put them to work and gained 5 more. Likewise, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the servant who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money, and after a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The servant who had received the 5 talents came and presented 5 more. Master, he said, you entrusted me with these 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 talents more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. That's the other night, Thursday night, when I was praying over every offering. That song, it's not even a Christian song. Just a little bit, just a little bit. I think that's Reba, whatever her name is, Reba. just a little bit. I mean, I couldn't get that song on my side. I was like, God, what's going on? Every word I'm praying over, almost everyone I'm saying, just a little bit. The Lord says, you know, we take the little bit that we use and do what God gives us with it. People say, oh, I don't have much. You know, I don't have a big ministry. I got these little few little sheep over here. I got this few little business stuff going on here. I got this few little family over here. They keep waiting for the big thing to happen, and they miss it because, you know, they're looking for the big thing instead of doing the little things every day. Master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. For you've taken the few things. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the servant who had received the 2 talents also came and said, Master, I've doubled them. I see that you've gained. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Finally, the servant. Now, watch this. Finally, the servant who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what belongs to you. He said, you wicked, lazy servant, replied his master. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. Look at that. It even says the bankers, dude. Deposit my money with the bankers, at least than that. And on my return, I would have received it back with interest. Therefore, take the talent and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Wow. Everyone who has will be given more, and he who has an abundance. But the one who does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw that worthless servant into the outer darkness. You know, the thing that's really amazing to me about that is the fear level. I know fear can be taken in a lot of different places. If somebody's got me on opening up, I'm hearing a lot of background noise. Please watch over that, if you would, please, because it's very distracting. The fear level that's coming on people right now, people are scared to death, man. They're starting to hide their stuff. They're starting to withdraw, starting to go, oh, man, if Jesus is coming back, I better just, you know, hide out until he comes. Instead of working and doing what little bit he's given us, you know what I'm saying? And that whole fear thing is going to be, I think a lot of the pre-trib people, honest to God, I think a lot of them are going, they're so full of fear about the end times. They're so full of fear because they misunderstand what God has said to do. And they're going to be hiding their stuff. They're going to be hiding out, and because they're not prepared. Like Mike was saying, they are not prepared. They are not ready. And therefore, fear is going to come on them. And a lot of them are just going to – I think a lot of them aren't saved anyway. I think a lot of people aren't saved that got saved under false anointing, especially fear factor preaching. And a lot of that pre-trib – a lot of people got saved. You hear Parrish Stone talk about it all the time. I wasn't in that group. I didn't know what those people taught, but they had multitudes of young people getting saved in these revivals, so-called revivals, that I'm sure God was moving in many different ways, but they preached fear, and they got saved out of fear, and mainly fear about where we're at right now. And because of that, it's going to cause a real problem. But this whole thing about the kingdom that you're saying, Jeff, that even the banking system, he said, you could have taken it, my money, and put it in the bank. You know, and so he's talking about a whole new system there. Go ahead, you guys.
There's another parable about the wicked servant, or the wicked person who built a vineyard. I think it kind of relates to this. Can I read it real quick?
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be on speaker for a second, so please hold it, but I'll be really quick.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hold on. Give me one sec. Right here. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and dug a wine press in it, the new wine, and built a tower and let out to the husbandman
and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servant to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servant and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent another servant more than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But the last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will receive my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is a heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard comes, what will he do unto the husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto the other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus said unto him, did ye not never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected is the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. I'll stop there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of the same, kind of in a, the same likeness of this thing where, you know, he's going to give it to a people that'll give him the fruits. Yeah. So that, I think that's where we are. I think we're entering into that place. It's a new kingdom. The Biden administration is in the process of setting up, and you know they're orchestrating it to make it look like, you know, like it's not really been organized, like it's not really been structured. You know, it's just going to happen in a way that people are just going to go like, you know. If they make it look like it's orchestrated and structured, well, I don't know. They're already doing it where everybody's like going, you know, they think that the rapture is coming tomorrow because of the way all the administration, the government system is working it. They don't care what anybody thinks about it. They're just like, they're doing whatever they want. That's the word we got about Caligula was that Trump, representing Trump 3 years and 10 months, that the Senate, back in his days, Caligula's days, the Roman emperor, they were going to rise up and do whatever they felt was best for Rome. They killed Caligula after 3 years and 10 months. And, of course, you know, Claudius became the next, you know, like in the scripture talking about Claudius. That's what that is. Claudius was in the days of Herod, you know, and all that. And so, you know, that kingdom is being set up and literally manifesting. And that's what 1134 has to do with about the new era that we're in. And so, God, we thank you tonight for the scriptures that the parables that we're getting tonight about what's going on, that you want to give the vineyard over to those who give the fruits back to you and give you the glory and know that that we're not going to be in fear. We're not going to walk in fear. We are prepared. We are ready. For those who are not prepared, it's fearful and awesome enough. The reverential fear of God is shook me in my belly area the night Biden became, you know, announced to be president by Fox and CNN and all the other ones. That just exploded inside me. And I can't even imagine that people are not going to be prepared for this. When it hit me, when the reverential fear of awe and awe of God hit me and said, now, Randy, everything I told you is going to come to pass, and I know what he's been telling me, and that's like end time revelation all the way, dude. It's the two witnesses. It's the revealing of the Antichrist. It was hindered for a season, and now it's going to be unveiled, and God is allowing it. It's not the devil's not out of control. It has nothing to do with that. God is allowing every bit of it, and at the same time, Satan is setting up his kingdom. Like you guys are saying tonight, we are believing God to set up a whole new system, set up a throne room with new names, a name that nobody can recognize. You know why? I don't even understand this, but it's kind of like having a password. If people find out your password, they can get into your secret stuff, right? It's kind of like having that new name. It's like God says, okay, what name can we give Jeff and Mike and Randy? Let's see what. Let me get a password that nobody knows, but me and them. People say, what's your password? Can't tell you. You know, can't tell you. the angels might have to take you out if I tell you. So I don't want that to happen. So what does he give us? He gives us this password or this new name that no one knows. So that anytime we need to get access to the treasures of the throne room of God, that new name is what we're talking about tonight, man. I'm just getting this. This is amazing. The new name has to do with like a password or a name to the account, which is only going to open up to certain people that, you know, will distribute it, the fruits of it, to all the people as God, like what we're doing with, like we're setting up right now. Literally, I'm talking to it. I've already paid the CPA. Haven't even heard from him yet. Already paid them. And all that's being set up. We're literally setting it up right now, literally setting up. They're showing me the CPAs and a book and this other group of people, which I've already paid, you know, like almost $1,400, paid them to just get this thing going. And then we have a CPA that we are, paid $214 already for 1 hour with them to make sure we set up this system that God has given us, you know, correctly, so that it can function. And so I got a feeling that what's going on with this stuff, as you guys are talking about this, and we're going to take communion now here in a little bit, is that this system God's setting up to bless the body of Christ, just like when Israel came out of Egypt, you know, God told Moses, only told Moses what was going to go on. But just because he only told Moses, it wasn't that Moses would get all the money. It wasn't about Moses getting the money. It was about all the people of Israel going to their neighbors and God setting it up where they all got the money. Show me the money. Yeah, show me the money. And so God says, I'm going to show you the money, but you're going to have to do it my way. I've got a way to do it that you don't know. So it has to do with a new name, and we're going to get a new little song that nobody else can learn. But that's why. Why is it a new song? Because only when the angels hear us singing that song, they're going, nobody knows that song, but them and God, they're singing that song. Let's go to work. Let's go do some stuff. Why? Because they got a new name that no one knows but us, but the angels and God. And we got a new song that when we're singing that song, whatever that song is, whatever it is, I don't even know what that is, when they hear the angels go, man, that's that new jig God came up with. Yeah, just a little bit. I don't think it's not just a little bit, but. Just a little bit, just a little bit. Wow! Yeah, go. And when they hear that song, whatever that new song is, they're going to be going like, oh, yeah, oh, my God, power and strength and glory, power and strength and glory. When they sing that song, the angels get empowered with strength and glory from the Father. Come on, let's cast Satan down from the heavens. When Michael hears us singing that song, just a little bit, just a little bit. I don't think that's the name of the song, but when they hear us singing it, whatever that is, it's gonna explode in the heavens, and the angels are going to bow down and worship. Why? Because we got a worship song that nobody knows, that nobody in the earth, not even Christians know, only those whom God has prepared and those who have that name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for a name that no one knows but us and you. I only got a password into the treasures of heaven, like Moses had a password into the treasure of heaven. And when he opened it up, it was a blessing for all of Israel. All of Israel. We thank you, God, for opening up this treasure that you've given this password, this anointing, this mantle for the market, God, people say, well, we don't want the money of Babylon. We don't want the money of Egypt. We don't want that money. Well, it ain't none of your business what money you want or how you get it. No, this is God's way, friend, not your way, not my way. It's the high way. It's the highest way. It's God's way. God told Moses, he said, on that last plague, when there's dead people in the houses, dead animals everywhere, and there's a cry in Egypt like never seen before, you're going to walk in and you're going to say, show me the money. And the Egyptians are going to go, yes, here, I'll show you where it's at, right here. Just take it and get out before we all die. Yeah. Well, we don't want Egypt's money. We want God's money. We only want God's money. Well, let me tell you something, friend. If you're giving to God what belongs to God, God's going to give you what belongs to you, and it's going to come, you know, just like we're doing right now. We're setting up, literally setting up a system by an anointing that God gave Moses, the anointing that God gave Randy. I'm not Moses. I don't even want to be Moses. I'm Randy. But God gave me an anointing, a key to the house of David. Now, listen to this. I'm prophesying right now. We haven't even taken communion yet. I'm already prophesying. I'm getting ahead of you guys. That the keys to the house of David, to the treasures of David, hallelujah, because David's treasures built the tabernacle, of the temple that that his son built. A lot of that money came from David's treasures that he had been going around, you know, from getting money from the Philistines. Well, I don't want the Philistine money. I want God's money. They've got God's money, friend, and we're going to take it back, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Y'all definitely got me stirred up tonight. In the name of Jesus. How, there's a new system with a new name that nobody knows. You know, you're not going to know that name. God told me, he said, when you set this up, Randy, I don't want you telling anybody. I don't want you to start telling anybody else. Now, listen to this, y'all. I'm just thinking about this. I don't want you telling anybody what the name of the company or the name of the what the trade you're going to do, that I'm going to show you the trade, the trading company you're going to trade on. You're going to make maybe multiple millions of dollars, maybe multiple billions of dollars. I'm going to give the name to you and only you. And you're going to make the trade in this new system for the people of God. And when that trade is made, nobody's going to know that name but one person, and that's the person that he gave the mantle to, like he gave it to Moses. But it's not for the man. It's for the people of God. And he's going to invade. Where do those treasures come from that David had in his treasure chest? It came from the Philistines, man. It came from the booty from those bunch of heathens over there who had taken God's money, and we're going back, friend, and we're going to take it, because that money they have, that's not unclean money. It's only unclean because it's in their hands. But when it gets in our hands, when it makes that transfer of wealth, it's going to purify it. It's going to cleanse it. They're no longer going to call it Egyptian money. They're going to call it Babylon's money. They're not going to call it the Philistines' money. Nah, they're going to call it God's money for God's people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what's really going on around here. And if you haven't got that vein of revelation, you're going to miss out. Get in. Get on. Start doing what God says. Give to God what belongs to God so God can give you what belongs to you. And he's going to take it out of the hands of Babylon, out of the hands of the Philistines, out of the hands of the Goliath and Egypt and whatever system that there is out there. God says, I'm going to go in and I'm going to take it out. And that's part of what's going to make them fall. Oh, my God. That's part of why Babylon's going to fall in one day, because we're going to go in there by the Holy Ghost and rob their treasuries. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Hallelujah. He's going to sweep them all away and take that money that always belonged to God. They got it. Now we got it. Hallelujah. Y'all ready to take communion? Just a little bit.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Wow. You guys got anything you want to add to that? Say to that? What's up?
It sounds like we're getting called into action. The cup of iniquity is going to overflow with Biden, and people are going to get called into action. If people are sitting on the sidelines in fear and reacting and not ready to go into this new system, this password that you're talking about, that's your gold talent, and you got to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that amazing that he told Moses that? I mean, one night, Tanisha called in or texted me or something, and I was about to say, you know, this is when that was all fresh, it's just a few months ago. I was saying something like, yeah, you know, I said, God has given me a mantle for this, for the market. And I said, did Moses have that? I don't think Moses had that. And Denise said, no, I think it's in there somewhere. I don't really remember. And so she sent me the scripture. She said, yeah. And she said, Here it is right here. When he was at the burning bush, God told him. He told him, that's what you're going to do. They're going to go and they're going to ask the money. He told him that at the burning bush. He put that mantle on Moses at the burning bush to take the wealth. Told him right then. He said that this is going to happen. I'm going to pour out my wrath on Egypt because my people don't have an appointment with wrath. I got an appointment with Egypt, and that appointment with Egypt is wrath. Oh, I have an appointment with my people, but it's blessing. Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's what's really up. That's what's really going on. So I thank you, Jesus, now.
Real quick, Randy.
Go ahead.
Real quick, it says Babylon, Babylon the Great has fallen. Come out of her, my people, lest you be struck with a curse. Come out of her, my people, lest you be struck with a curse. If you don't come out during the time that Babylon falls, you get judged with Babylon. And it goes back to the rest of the stuff. But, you know, the other thing real quick, it says the house divided can't stand. We've been so divided with all of our nominations and everything else. But once this comes forth, man, you're going to know who the unveiling of the bride, the unveiling of those who have entered in. You know, like some of them went back, you know, not all the people entered into the promised land. Some went back and they perished. But, you know, there's going to be a unity that's going to come out of this, which will probably be the first time since the Acts Church, that is going to be pretty amazing because there's going to be a distinct unity within the members that are coming out and that they're going to have a mark.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, come out of them, my people. You know, I remember prophesying that very thing when we started doing the Blood of the Doorpost. You know, God started showing me this, and I did not have a clue that it was going to be happening now. I didn't know when it was going to happen. I didn't know when God was going to destroy the system of money in the church. And one of the things that's about to happen, too, is that it's not just about the money of Egypt, but it's the money of the merchandisers. You know, the money of the merchandisers. And so, you know, the system, the problem with the merchandising system of the prophets and the apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers, the system that they're serving in under and having us serve under, we have been part of that until I came up underneath it and started calling God's people out from underneath it. That here's the sad part about this merchandising thing is they don't realize it. Remind me to tell you guys about the word, a word somebody gave just a couple days ago. Remind me about that before I move on. But they don't realize that the merchandising system is part of the Babylonian system. That's what it's a part of. It's Babylon. The merchandising is Judas. It's Jesus driving out the money changers out of his own father's temple and saying, my father's house will be a house of worship and not a house of merchandising, not a house of thieves and robbers, but a house of prayer. And so that whole system is that what Jesus was saying, come out from among them, stop doing this, stop merchandising, stop Babylonizing, stop Egyptianizing, or whatever you want to say, my people. And the money system that I have is different from the merchandising system is the Babylonian system that the church is using, that the false prophet is going to use. And that's where all that's going. That's the sad part about what's about to happen with all this stuff, is that they're going to find themselves, without even realizing it, right into the Babylonian system and thinking they're doing God a favor. And it's an abomination. All right.
Just real quick, this is another verse came through my head when you were talking right there. It says that the harlot was on the beast, that she was drunk with the wine of Babylon. There's a verse in Revelation that talks about the harlot church riding on the beast and that she was intoxicated with the wine. You know, we're talking about the new wine era. They're talking about the wine of Babylon, the two different wines. And she was intoxicated with the wine of she was intoxicated. She couldn't even do anything. She couldn't even understand what to do because she was already drunk with the wine.
Right. And part of that she was drunk with was with the blood of the prophets. Right? I mean, that's part of the, I don't know if it's that particular scripture or not, but it talks about how she was drunk with.
It traffics on the souls of man.
and the blood of the prophets. Her garments were stained with the blood of the prophets and trafficked on the souls of man. And then we go back to the verse in Matthew where it says that, you know, they make them twice the sons of hell. They themselves didn't enter in, but made them twice the sons of hell and put burdens on them that they couldn't carry.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. I really like that. All right, Jeff, you got anything before we take communion? Anything you want to say?
I felt called to take communion, and I think we went down some things that will take a few years to unravel here, but I'll go ahead and let you lead it, Andy.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Give me just a minute here. Somebody want to say something? You got about a minute or so to say something. I'm going to take just a quick break here. Hang on a second.
Oh, no problem. Mike.
You know, I told my experience I had in Santa Monica when the anointing just came down. And when I was show last night, it came back out how, and she was talking about a girl that was just went to a park and started worshiping and started evangelizing. Suddenly the anointing came down on Sid Roth. She watched on there. I was trying to locate that today. I'm not sure exactly which ministry that was, but it just blew up and people were just coming and being healed. And, you know, I think, you know, what the Lord's really been showing me about this new time is, you know, in the beginning of the year, I got the word that this is the year of the suddenly. But I think we're going to start seeing, you know, as we go into this, even as the Antichrist rises up in power, it's a double-edged sword, we're also going to rise up. And there's going to be more authority, more power. We're going to see that in a counter. As a system gets stronger, so will we. As they grow more united, we will grow more united. It's a double-edged sword. And I just think that we're coming into that time and we're seeing shadows of it right now. But the Lord's going to definitely, for his people rising up, they're going to be able to tell who are the bride of Christ, who is this group of people because of the signs and wonders. Who are these untaught men teaching? You know, like the Pharisees and scribes were like, who are these untaught men? They're out here teaching, but the signs and the wonders will back it up. I mean, there's the lying signs and wonders, but I believe the signs and wonders that we're going to exhibit, you know, they can say whatever they want, but the sick are being healed. They're doing a good deed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Jesus. All right. It's the two different kingdoms. The thing is that we're going to see two different kingdoms, a definitely clear distinction between two different kingdoms. Two different systems are being set up, and that's what the beauty of all this is. That's why people need to quit crying out for Trump to come back, because Trump did his thing, man. He did it better than anybody I've ever seen before. I've never seen anybody do a thing so quick as he did. Like John the Baptist, man, 3.5 years, you know, he was gone. I mean, you did your job, you know, now that a whole new thing is coming on, and that's really what's going on with him. People haven't given him the credit that belongs to him. What he's done, they don't understand why he can't come back. Just like John the Baptist couldn't come back, you know, he did his job. He opened up the door for the Antichrist. He stirred up the Antichrist, made him so ticked off that they couldn't even control themselves anymore, in my opinion. And so they manifested. They just took over because he stirred them up. I mean, who could do that? But Donald Trump, nobody, man. He was awesome. And congratulations, Donald Trump. There you go. That was your purpose, bro. And all these people trying to. You know, cause it to come back around again. It's like getting Jesus to die all over again for our sins. You know, it's in vain. It's totally in vain. It's totally in vain. So I just try to make it as clear as I can, y'all. I don't want to beat around the bush. All right, I'm just gonna call it what it is when God gives it to me, and that's it. So if you got your bread, thank you guys for getting me in this tonight. I did not plan on this. I didn't know this was gonna happen, as you know. This is all fresh. This is all brand new tonight. They felt led to do communion. Jeff texted me and said, let's take communion. Tell Mike, let's take communion. I go, okay. So let's do it. And I follow along. You know, if somebody shares something, I think it's great. I think God's doing it. I'll do it. If I don't, I'll just stay here. I ain't going to do it. you know, and just make it not to, to be cruel or harsh, but just very plain spoken. I have a God has called me, like Paul the Apostle, you know, protected the gospel. I have a job to protect the prophetic. So it's my job. And so I appreciate everybody that God's called along to help us. So thank you guys for that. Because of you and the Lord, we're going to do this tonight. Okay, go ahead.
Real quick. You said before, the Spirit says to the bride, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And both of them have to be ready to say, come.
All right. Awesome. All right, so let's get ready to say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And, you know, John the Baptist prepared people. He prepared the way of the Lord. We are now, that has been prepared. Donald Trump was part of that preparation. Thank you, God, for that. And now the bride is not going to say come unless she's ready. And so I thank you, Lord, that you've made your bride ready. And we're saying come. Start the process of coming and of bringing this thing to pass, coming to pass where it's coming. We're literally seeing the temple being built, all the things that the pre-tribber said we're not going to be here for. We're going to find ourselves being here for it. And it can't be stopped. Nobody can stop it. When God gets ready to do it, if Jonathan Cahn starts saying all this stuff, again, if he starts saying God did something, I will come on and say, man, that's God. But if it ain't God, I'm going to tell you. I don't care what anybody says about it. I don't care who they are, what name they got tagged on them. I have not a respect for a person. I want to say something that's not. But if Jonathan Cahn comes out and says, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn comes out and says, what's going on? I will, you know, not that he doesn't need me, and I don't need him. But as far as in the body of Christ, we stand alone on our words that God gives us. But when if he starts prophesying stuff, man, I'm going to say, amen. Go get him, man. Go get it. People can mess up something and come back around and get it right, man. They can come back around and get it right. So that's what I'm praying for. I'm believing all these prophets that did the Trump thing. They're going to come back around. I'm believing God is going to come back around. They're going to have to get out of that system and enter into the real system and stop that other stuff, or they're not going to be in, they're not going to be part of it. They will not be part of it if they don't go on. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying buy Jonathan Cahn's book. No way. Yeah. I'm not buying Jonathan Cahn's. I'm not buying any Jonathan Cahn's. I don't buy anybody's book anytime. Ever. So, all right, let's pray. Let's lift up the bread. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your bread tonight. Jesus, Paul the Apostle said, let me go there for a second. Find this. I haven't gone to the scripture yet. We'll read that scripture. Just a little bit. First Corinthians 11. And I may start here and end up somewhere else, but we're going to start here, 1 Corinthians 11. People get offended when I talk. You shouldn't be talking about any rabbi like that. Listen, man, I got to tell people what God's saying, not what a rabbi is saying, or some intelligent, you know, high-minded, you know, wonderful person. If they're not saying what God's saying, I'm going to tell you, you know, and that's just it. So. All right, Paul the Apostle said, what I received from the Lord, I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Let me tell you something, friend. That system is going to betray us. It's going to betray us. That's what it's going to do. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake, friend, of this new kingdom. This new system. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new kingdom. It's the new system. It's the new way. It's the new order of God. In my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the system that I set forth not the system of men, not the kingdoms of men, not democracy. Democracy has been awesome, but it's not been God's perfect way. I don't care what any of them say. Jesus didn't do it like that, and that's not the way it is. God's going to set his own kingdom up, and he's setting it up now, tonight. We declare and we decree, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, friend. In Jesus' name, amen. As you drink that cup tonight, friend, we thank you, Jesus, for the precious blood of the Lamb, for the system that you have, God, for the opening up of your people, for the opening up of the system that you have, your kingdom, your ways, not democracy, not any other, whatever it is, not the kingdoms of men. They're all going to be crushed. They're all going to be brought down. They're all going to be destroyed. And we are now, tonight, preparing the way for your kingdom, for your banking systems, for your money.
Hallelujah, Lord.
It's going to come out of Egypt. It's going to come from Egypt. We're going to go in just like God said to do with Moses. And that's why God says, Randy, I've given you that mantle so you can do just like Moses did in a different kind of a way, except it's the 20th century way or whatever, 21st century way of going in. And do that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, right now for it being done right now by the power of the blood.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Whoa. Whoa. Wow.
Plundering Egypt. God, we thank you that we are plundering Egypt. We are plundering Babylon. And one day, Babylon will fall. Where did all that money go? What's that guy's name and that group of people? What you know, over there. Let's go after them. That's what we're trying to set up right there. Let's go after them. Like if Pharaoh went after them when they walked out with the money, right? We'll be backed up against the Red Sea, and God will say, stretch forth your rod. Except we're going to be going into the promised land. We enter the promised land. But same, the symbols are amazing. The analogies are perfect. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Plundering
yes,
the system in the name, by the Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God, to plunder Egypt. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
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 Yes, you're the bush. Just real quick, Randy, that the angels will wipe eye saps on everyone's eyes that they may see. And even as he said to Elijah, that there is more for us than against us. And man, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. God, open up our eyes. So every time we eat the bread, we remember when on the road to Emmaus, after Christ rose from the dead, those disciples, they didn't have a clue who it was. They were broken over the fact that now look at this look what happened with the Trump era. When that went down, people became very sad. We thought that he was the one, right? Everybody thought Trump was the guy, you know, and he was. But it's like people are sad. They're going like, what, you know? So we got to believe God that when they start eating the bread, that they're going to get the revelation that Jesus, that this is really the season. That this really is the time of your kingdom being set up. It's not going to be the way they thought. Just like always, Joseph's life set up the way he said it was not what he thought at all. Jesus, they all thought it was going to be a certain way. It wasn't what they thought at all. They never dreamed he would die. They never dreamed that would happen. They never dreamed that would fall apart. But it was the beginning of a new system being established in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the doors for, you know, even legal people, bringing us CPAs and lawyers and whoever they are. The people that I'm talking to, they're Christian lawyers, Christian CPA people. These are not heathens. They're not. I don't really know them. I just know I did research on them, and you know, they are, I told them what we were doing. I told them what we were doing. And honest to God, you know, I'm talking to these people, and I said, well, here's what we got going on, and here's what I need. And I told them about when the Lord told me to take this gift that he'd given, this mantle and use it for the body of Christ. And just like some other, the very thing that comes out of people's mouth when they first hear it is, man, that's genius. That's what this guy said. He said that is genius. Just like other people have said the same thing when you first tell them, they go, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, that's genius. I told the guy, I said, yeah, I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't because God gave it to me. I wouldn't have had a clue. And I told him some of the testimonies. I said, in Christ, I lie not, because these people don't know me. I said, in Christ, I lie not. This is exactly what God has done. And I told him about different parts of the market that God showed me and that it happened and came to pass. And they said, Randy, and now God's going to use this. I mean, I don't even know these people, right? And they're telling me that's genius, and God's going to use this thing to help the body of Christ. Now, they may have doubted it after we got off the phone. I don't know what their deal was. I don't know. It's all good. I mean, we're working together, and I talked to them again. And now we're sitting up with the CPA. God, we thank you for helping us prepare the way as Christians for this whole new system, like Jeff said about banking, all the whole system that we need for Christ, that when we set it up God's way, that when the millennium comes or the great tribulation comes and all the fire of hell, all the Antichrist doing this thing, we're going to have this system that's from God, that's protected by God, kept by God, watched over by God, because it's his. Because you know what? This banking system, this system that's being set up, the only way we can do this thing and plunder Egypt is because God gave the gift. He gave it to me, the person who is least to know what he's doing. I mean, I didn't know a thing about the market when God put that mantle on me, when the angel came to my room, whoever came to my room, he said to me, there's a massive merger coming. And with those words, on January the 11th, 2005, that morning when that happened to me, from that day on, I started knowing things supernaturally about the market. And after years of training, years of, you know, learning about what to do, what not to do, you know, and I've talked about all of it, now we've entered a place where God says, now that you've learned a few things, Randy, now we're going to use this for my people, and you're going to plunder Egypt. And I go, oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus, for preparing the way for this system to be set up, for God's people to be blessed. We're not going to be begging for food. Are you kidding me? Get out of that thing, man. We're coming out of it. We're robbing Egypt. Robbing them, I mean, it's going to be done legally, but it's like they're going to go, where'd all that money go? You know, those people that PG, whatever it is, PG what, N, yeah. I don't know what happened, man. They opened up an account. They God spoke to that guy, whatever his name is. And, I mean, you know, they are now like, oh, my God. Yeah. There you go. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. All right. Just a little bit. A little bit turns into a whole lot when God blesses it, man. A little bit turns into a whole lot. Hallelujah. All right, you guys got anything to say?
Well, I went somewhere with that.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
The spirit of Elijah.
I'm just feeling the anointing just overwhelming.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he also
wow.
said that he will send the spirit of Elijah to return the hearts of the fathers to his sons and the sons to the father and remove the curse from the earth.
Yeah. Because
and
the major transition, y'all, is the wealth. The wealth. Not just money, but that's part of it. All the wealth, the Egyptians got it. You know? God gave it to his people. Why? Because that's what he did.
Yeah, Randy,
yeah.
I think you said it. Good. I mean, everything in your spirit. I mean, the anointing was shooting through me too. And this is amazing night on an amazing feast day. And man, I'm overwhelmed. And I know that you know His kingdom has come upon. It's coming. It's not only coming, but we're in it. We're not. The destiny's not before us, not behind us. We're in our destiny right now. We're in this destiny thing. And It's overwhelming. It's a radical change. It's a change that's almost mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, I'd have never dreamed of doing this tonight. I mean, Jeff and Mike didn't text me and say, "Hey, Randy, I think we can do commute." Now they do that right in the middle of the show. I'm going like, "What?" I texted Jeff. I said, "What?" Like midnight. That's what I texted him. I said, "What? I mean, what's the purpose? I mean, I love to take communion. I love it, but is God showing you guys a purpose? I didn't know. I didn't know if there was something going on. So, not that it really mattered that much, but I'm asking you guys, what's the purpose of this? So we can kind of flow with what God's giving you. If He's giving you something, we'll flow in it together and see what God's doing. And I love this teamwork stuff, man. It's one of my favorite things to do. So, yeah, just a little bit. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Randy, that parable of the talent.
Mike, hang on a second, Mike.
That parable of the talents, when you're praying, uh-huh. I saw a gold coin. And then talons, I saw a gold coin turn into eagle talons. And it was flying into almost like an Egyptian scene and just taking up all the money.
Well, you know, it says they came out of Egypt on eagle's wings, right? Isn't that what it says?
I guess golden talons was eagle talon, like golden eagle.
Wow. Came out.
Wow.
I think,
wow.
Let me look this up. Came out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Yeah, I think that's, let me see if I can find that scripture so everybody can find it if they want to know it. Yeah, Exodus 19:4 says, let me just read it here. It says, thank you, Jesus. It says, "For you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." That's what he says he did. He brought them out. What they came out with? They came out with the gold and the silver, right? On eagle's wings. Cool, man.
Wow. That's yeah, there's a lot there. Whoa. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just real quick, Randy, before me and Jeff go, can you do us a favor tonight? We haven't done it in a while, but can you pray over Colorado again?
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Colorado tonight. We thank you, God, for you've been trying. The enemy's been trying to set up his system there and make it like a hub or like a source. And we thank you, Jesus, for reversing that, God. And taking that, you know, we're going to dwell together with the unrighteous. You know, that's what it says about the parable of the wheat and the tares. Like, let them dwell together until the harvest time. And when the harvest time comes, then the angels come and separate out. So we thank you, Lord, for you're going to make it clear who are your people in Colorado. And we thank you, Jesus, who you want to be your people, like the Sauls, who are religious and they're bound up in their own religion and they can't get out of it and they need Jesus to come along and knock them off their horse. And we thank you, Jesus, for doing that in Colorado. Just knock Colorado off its horse, those that are riding the wrong horse, going to the wrong direction, you know, trying to destroy what God is doing, thinking they're doing God a favor. We thank you, Lord, for reversing that right now. In the name of Jesus, and establish your system, establish your kingdom, God. Let this be a place, let Colorado be a place, a place where angels, you know, like when Jacob's ladder, where the angels came up and down off the ladder. Let Colorado be a place where the angels come and go move up and down on the ladder. And in Jesus' name, open up that, let that open heaven, God, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan, right now. In Jesus' name, you cast down, we cast you down in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, like in Jacob, when the ladder came down and the angels, you know, came up and down and back and forth and brought things. What do angels do? They don't just like ladders. They don't like to just go up and down a ladder. Oh, let's go ride the ladder. Oh yeah, no, they're not riding the ladder, man. They're bringing stuff. They're delivering things. They're delivering goods. And I thank you, Jesus, for as Satan is cast down out of the heavens, God, the angels come forth and deliver the things of God, deliver the word of the Lord, deliver the wealth of God, deliver the strategy. Information is the greatest thing. When God gave Moses, what did God give Moses? He gave him information. Information is a treasure chest. When you have information from God, you have all you need to do whatever needs to be done. You don't need money. When you have information, God will show you the information, will show you where the money is. God will tell you, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and on 10th plague, then he's going to be, show me the money. Knocking on the doors of the Egyptians, saying, show me the money. And God
show
says,
me the
then
money.
They're going to, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for showing us the treasures of heaven, God. Let the angels of God come and Colorado, Lord, and be able to go up and down and up and down. Let it be a delivery place of heavenly things in the name of Jesus, of heavenly revelation, of heavenly information, God, in Jesus' name. All you need, friend, is godly information. That's all you need. If you need money, God will give you information on how to get them. And that's what he did with me in the market. He said, Randy, it's going to move up 3,200 points in 32 weeks, exactly. And friend, that's exactly what it did. And that was confirmed by people. I didn't even know it did it. Somebody called me up and told me, Randy, do you realize that it went to 32 exactly in 32 weeks like you said? I went, I hadn't checked. They said, check it out, dude. It happened. These people were from Florida. This is a year or so before Blog Talk. Yeah, check it out, dude. I went, oh, my gosh. Sure enough, it happened. It happened. That was just one of many. And the Lord says, it's information. When I give you information, it's the keys to the treasures of David. Hallelujah. Yeah, in the name of the keys to the treasures of David. God says, I'm giving the keys. The keys is revelation. The keys is the knowledge of God. Open that up, God, in Jesus' name, to the treasures. We don't need money. We just need information to tell us where the money's at. Where do we dig for gold at? Where do we drill for oil? Where do we, which house do we go and knock on the door and ask for the gold and silver? Information from heaven. Information is the treasures of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the information. Let Colorado become an information hub, a hub of information, heavenly, God-given information in Jesus' name. Yeah. All right. Praise God.
I'll have to tell you sometime later, and I'll send it to you, but I have a thought.
I can't already hear you if you're talking to me.
I have a prophecy about Jacob's ladder I saw when I was prayer walking, and it's something kind of private, but I'll send it to you. I haven't written it, and, I mean, you said some things on there that were word for word, and it's I have chills going down me right now, but thank you. That's amazing. Amen.
Cool. All right, Jeff, you got anything you want to say before we call it a night? Or whatever.
Praise God for your prayer over Colorado. Very powerful, and we just ask for a shaking of the government here, that the corruption be exposed, and that new covenants are established with the leaders here, and a fertile breaking ground that's coming over to Colorado. Thank you, Jesus, for that prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And just real quick, one more thing. We're dealing with I'm in a place called Strathmore, and people, please pray for that area. And it's, it's just filled. It's like a cancer of black magic,
all kinds of occultic activity, especially some of the South American witchcraft and stuff, and it's just taken over the whole area. The epidemic with crystal meth and dope and, you know, opiates, it's just off the charts. I mean, 2 days ago I went up to one of the gas stations up here, and I'm not exaggerating, there was the whole lot was filled with homeless people, and it's just things really had a hold on this region. It's a very diverse from city to city, but and each city is diverse. But pray for the breaking through. That, you know, even as the Lord said that a great light shined in the shadow of darkness. A lot of the area, especially up in Colorado Springs, really have been taken over. But by, they're spiritual. This is a very spiritual place, but they've really been taken over by the dark magic and the dark arts. And they'll come. They'll come once they see the real thing. But they really don't have it's really divided.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it's, you know, what the Lord told me, Randy, I'm going to use you to bring division. I'm going like, huh? I thought we were supposed to really bring in unity. He says, I'm going to first, listen to this, man. This is amazing. He said, first, I'm going to rightly divide the word. And the word is going to divide my people. But eventually, the rightly dividing of the word, the people are really hungry for the word, they're going to come together because they're going to go, man, I don't care what I was raised on. I'm coming to Jesus' word. I want Jesus' word. And Jesus' word, the Bible says, rightly dividing the truth of God's word. God said, I'm going to do that. That's what he's happening right now. One of the things that's happening right now is that through spirit of revelation of God, it's rightly dividing. Let me see if I can find that scripture exactly. Word of truth. Yeah, let me go here. 2 Timothy 2:15. That you, best position of God, as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Or rightly divided. Let me go, King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Lord says, I'm going to bring a rightly dividing anointing where we rightly divide. Where, like you said, the people are going to, people want what's real. And what do they have right? What do we have right now for the most part? Mixed. Why? Because the word of truth has not rightly divided, you know, all this nonsense out, my nonsense as well as others, and rightly dividing the word of truth so that they can go, wow, now that's God. You know, they're going to see that, like you said, all these people that are the whores and the prostitutes and all of them, when they start seeing Jesus show up, are you kidding me? They're going to run to him. They're going to flock to him because, man, you are the one we're looking for. And, yeah, so the church hasn't brought the supernatural power of God right. So they went after it because they're called to it. But as we rightly divide the word of truth, that's what God is doing right now. What he's having me do right now is right. I've even told me, you're bringing division with your stuff, telling people there ain't going to be no pre-tribulation rapture. You know how much division you brought with that word? I said, yeah, I do. And you know what? Because God told me it's time to say it and make it plain. And it's dividing people. I got people mad at me that have never been mad at me before because I have come out and said, rightly dividing the word of truth, saying, just go ahead and tell them, Randy. You know, and so I'm telling them as God gives it to me, and what's happening is it's setting God's people back on His authority, so we can walk in His authority again. And when the unclean people and all that, the people see that they're going to all the self righteous people go like, well, how come these whores and prostitutes and these witches and warlocks, how come they're being used so powerfully by God? Because when they saw the truth, they ran to it, and you didn't. And we're seeing that right now. And from my perspective as a prophet, what God has called me to do and what we're seeing, from my perspective, that's exactly what's going on right now. All right.
Quick, Randy, it says that just to another word that just came, as soon as you said the other word came to my mind, but it says they were tossed to and fro by every whim of doctrine because it wasn't rightly divided. And it says they were unstable.
Right.
Maybe the church is unstable in all its ways.
Yeah, double-minded. That's exactly what's happened. It's happened to me. It's happened to all of us. We have all, I think I say all of us, you know, I don't know anybody who hasn't been affected by this. We've all been affected by that. I've been part of the person that was speaking, not prophecy, but teaching things that were not God. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I'm going to explain this to you, and I'm going to make it to you simple and plain so you can make it plain and simple to my people. And so that's kind of what happened. And so we're setting people back on the foundation of Christ Jesus and getting the gospel of Christ instead of a bunch of hyper, you know, positive thinking, you know, Babylonian Christians. You know, it's going to be, you know, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, period. Nothing's going to be mixed in it. So, and I don't have that yet. I can't sit here and say I have that, but I'm heading that direction. Paul the apostle was used by God to set the house in order, and that's what, in a sense now, except it's the prophets being used to, you know, because we're part of the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's not just the apostles; it's the apostles and the prophets. The apostles have laid it. Now the prophets are going to point to it and say, this is what the apostles were saying. This is what the prophets are going to do that. Let me get that scripture here. Let me see.
Built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets. It's in Corinthians where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah, I got it right here. Thank you. All right. Ephesians 2:20, it says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus. Now watch this, man, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Built, it's Ephesians 2, verse 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So what's the foundation built on? Built on the foundation of who? The apostles? Well, that's only half of it. The apostles and the prophets. So what God is doing now is he's, what the apostles have laid, you know, in the scripture, now through the last day movement of the prophet, the prophet's going to come along and they're going to say, by revelation, saying, this is what the apostles were saying. This is what the apostle Paul was talking about. It's not what some other people calling themselves apostles are saying. That's a false gospel. I used to preach it. I used to be a part of it. Now God says, come out from among them, and if you will, I will use you as a prophet to point to the true foundation and bring my people back to the true foundation where Jesus Christ is, because what we have is not Jesus Christ himself. We got everything but Jesus Christ himself. And God says, I'm going to use you, Randy. I'm going to use other prophets to speak by the spirit of revelation to bring my church back on the revelation, by revelation, to the foundation that the apostles, you know, and of course the prophets would make fit, but God's using the prophet, the spirit of revelation of the prophet, to bring forth that Jesus Christ himself will be the chief cornerstone of this system that's being set up. And the thing that's so cool about this is that once we do this, as God has been doing this, once it's set in order and we're not really laying the foundation, what we're doing is we're pointing to what's been laid already. The prophet through Revelation is saying, okay, this is what God meant when he said this. This is what the apostle meant when he said that. This is what Jesus meant when he said that. And reestablishing people on the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets of Jesus Christ, and therefore what's going to happen? Jesus Christ himself, man, is going to be right there. We're preparing the way for that. But we're going to preach him now. We're going to prophesy. We're going to set the foundation in order so that he himself can be in our midst. Right? Yeah. Wow. All right. I'm going to move to some other callers. You guys, this has been awesome tonight. Anything? Any last words?
No, it was epic, man. We love you, and love you too, Jeff. And, man, what a night.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys called in and we did the whole community thing. It's awesome. All right. All right, Jeff, you got anything? Okay, I'm going to meet you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Jeff, you got anything you want to say before I move on here? Just a little bit.
Yeehaw, hallelujah.
That's the yeehaw. That's a Texas. You can't, Coloradans can't use that. That's Texas stuff. That's cowboy Texas.
That's any cowboy.
Oh, okay.
Could be a cowboy in New Mexico, Colorado, doesn't matter.
That's true. What am I talking about? I think I probably got a lot of cowboys in Colorado. Okay, right, you got it. Sorry. I love it, man. And, hey, thank you guys for coming on, and thank you for mentioning communion tonight. I did not have a clue. That was all, if people know, that was totally spontaneous tonight, right?
I felt like the communion taking it with you, Randy, there was some kind of breakthrough for me. A weight was lifted off of me. Some deliverance happened for sure. So thank you so much.
Oh, great.
Like a blue orbs that were weighing me down spiritually just got lifted off of me. It was like a weight of Babylon. That's what it felt like.
Wow. Interesting. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I love it, brother. Thank you so much, man. We're looking forward to that new system being set up, and pray for us as we, our CPA, we get, meet with us. I don't know what day I'm going to meet. They haven't actually texted me yet or emailed me or whatever yet to set up an exact day, but pray that I'll have all the questions set up, and it may take more than an hour, so we may have to pay another whatever. But I don't really care. You know, right now I'm just kind of like, whatever. We're setting the foundation. Think about this, man. I mean, I had to put all that together. We're actually, right now, look at what we just talked about. We're actually laying a foundation for what? The wealth of Egypt being transferred into the body of Christ, man. Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right. All right, Jeff, I guess that's it. I seem to hear you, but...
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Sign me up for that.
You're already
that
signed
mission.
Up. What do you mean sign you up for that?
whatever we could do, we're taking action. That's what we prayed about.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Randy.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go here to Nicole from D.C. What's going on, Nicole? What do you think about? What's up?
Hey, Randy. I was just calling in for prayer and listening and just enjoying PGN. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, tonight's kind of a different night tonight. We just kind of took off and, you know, yeah. So
I have to go back to listen. I'm late joining tonight. So I have to, in the morning, I'll play
okay.
it again.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah. All right. All right, let's pray for you then. I'm going to mute you just for a second there. Let's pray for Nicole. Nicole is going to be doing a show on Sunday morning or early Sunday afternoon. I can't remember the exact time of it, but on teaching on the Book of Revelation. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be, I think, in December, going to start in December. I don't remember the exact date, but she's saying she would like to do that, and I approved of that so far. And we need to get all the details going on, but she's going to be teaching on the Book of Revelation, y'all. Isn't that going to be cool? It's going to be great. That's going to start in December around noon or 1 or 2 o'clock, can be the time limit, on Sundays. So God is adding to PGN a little bit more, and thank God for that. So thank you, Jesus, for Nicole, and thank you, Lord, for your anointing to protect her, to keep her. God, in Jesus' name, as she enters into this new phase, this new place, this new thing, that God, she's able to make the adjustments emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, and strengthen her and give her the power to conquer, God, those things, and that she can bear much fruit. For you in Jesus' name, and entering into this new system, this new kingdom, this new thing that you're doing, and she will be able to be used by you, Lord, to to talk about it, teach about it, open up doors where people can think about it through her going through the book of Revelation. And Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening that up, for those treasures. It's cool that it's happening around Christmas time. I don't remember the date exactly, but opening up treasures, opening up gifts in Jesus' name. Lord, showing her how to open up the gifts of Revelation and the gifts of your word, Father, to teach your people, to share things that they can open their minds up to the new, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's check in with her and see what's going on. So anything thicker going on?
Amen. Just preparing, excited. You know, when God released you to have other people come to serve as hosts for PGN,
yeah,
it was just so exciting, and I've just been praying, like, Lord, what, you know, how can I serve? How can I participate? What have you called me to do? And then finally, you know, it was like, okay, this is what I have for you. So I'm super excited.
Oh, great.
God.
Yeah, she's going to be teaching on the book of Revelation. Because some people are looking, this is what she sent me. Teaching the book of Revelation is something people are looking to understand, which is exactly right. And doing that, what did you say, December or something like that? December, I can't remember the date on that.
It is, we said, the last Sunday in December is December 26th.
Oh, so that is around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
What is Christmas?
Yeah, the 25th, so it's
25th.
The day right after Christmas. Yep.
Wow.
Sunday after Christmas.
Okay, I couldn't even remember the date on it. I was trying to go through your email there and see if I could find it. I couldn't even find it. Very cool, man. So opening up new gifts. That literally does fit. I mean, I was trying to go back and say, I couldn't remember the date at all. I think, was that the 12th or I couldn't remember. Awesome. Girl, that's awesome. Really cool. Yeah, we'll just believe God to open up that. The word and get people to start thinking, because I think that what he wants us to do, one of the things that I've been thinking about, and he actually spoke to me a couple of days ago, maybe even today, and I wrote it down so that we can begin to prepare for, you know, instead of looking at you know, the coming of Christ as something we got to sell everything we have and go in the streets and preach the gospel, to move it into a whole other realm of thinking where what we're doing every day in our businesses, you know, what we're doing every day in our ministry, what we're doing every day in our, you know, looking for land to buy, you know, for our home or for our family, that all of that, we start putting it together with the millennium, realizing that if we're doing that in Jesus Christ, everything we're doing now is going to be millennium stuff, right? I mean, it's just, so start thinking, getting people to think differently about all that.
Yeah. I think there's been such a focus on heaven, which is amazing, but, you know, present heaven is temporary. When Jesus comes, we're going into the millennial reign with the new heaven and the new earth. And after the millennial reign, God is moving his headquarters to the earth, but praise God for the millennial reign, which is soon coming.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds crazy, but but there's so many things going on that just, you know, I'm blown away by the whole thing. It's amazing how the whole earth right now is like going, you know, something's happened. We're into something new. I mean, you know, all the way the election happened and the fighting over all that and the whole struggle and the battle and Afghanistan and, you know, Biden just doing his stuff and COVID and everybody's like going, you know, the preaching on the second coming. Some people are preaching on the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture, hoping that happens, you know, because they don't understand what's really going on.
Right.
It's very interesting, the season that we're in. And so God wants to use PGN to bring forth, you know, like he told me that he's going to use the prophet's revelation, the spirit of revelation in this particular prophet, myself, to be used to point to what the foundational of the apostles really means. You know, in other words, the Lord says, just speak it, make it plain. Don't go, oh, it's all going to pan out. No, pan it out is not what the apostles said. The apostles didn't say, it's all going to pan out. You know, I used to say that. Oh, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Oh, it don't worry. It don't matter. It's all going to pan out. The Lord says, and I used to say that because I used to confront the pre-tribbers back in the 70s. back in the 70s and 80s, and I got crucified over that. I mean, literally, it's amazing. And so so I learned to keep my mouth shut because when I would tell them what I believed, that they would ostracize me. They cut me off from friendship.
Wow.
And
wow.
Friends, you know, listen to him. He's a false. Yeah, that happened way back then. So I learned to keep my mouth shut and kind of moved into this thing of, like some of my other friends talk about it, is that, you know, oh, it's all going to pan out. You know, like, let's don't confront it. Let's don't talk about it. And I did that for years successfully. I was happy with it. And all of a sudden the Lord says, that's over. Start speaking plainly, Randy, because I'm going to have you speak at the foundation that the apostles have really set, which is going to bring, which is what will open up the door for Christ himself to come and be in our midst. I'm going, wow,
amen.
That's amazing.
Amen. It's interesting. I remember one night you were talking about you were talking about a lady, and they were they believed, I don't know if you said they sold everything, they believed that the end was coming.
Yeah.
And women and men of God, but were just had heard a wrong teaching and believed it.
Yeah.
And
1988. Wow. Yeah, some guy preached on that, and the whole, I mean, people from all over the globe got a hold of it. And this lady who was a, you know, an older lady at the time, she was kind of like my grandmother, you know, like a spiritual, she wasn't like a spiritual grandmother to me, but she was my grandmother's age. And she called me to minister to in her meetings, you know, because she liked, you know, the way I, you know, preach and stuff. So she would invite me to her meetings, and I would preach at her meetings. And when she believed that, she took me to her house. I mean, I preached for her that night. You know, usually you get $100. This is back in the 70s, right? I mean, back in the 80s. And she took me to her house. You know, she got her checkbook out. We sat at the kitchen table. She says, "How much money do you need to do what you were doing?" And I was doing a big project at the time. It was like, you know, at least $1 million, you know, to do the whole thing back then. And I didn't know she was wealthy. I didn't have a clue. So she sits down, and she knew that I didn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, right? Even though she was kind and would invite me to her meetings. So I sat down at the table with her. She says, "Randy, and I have to tell you this because God, you know, so that we're going to be raptured out of here." And she says, I don't remember exactly her words, but she knew that I didn't believe in it. She says, she was going to write me a check. She was going to write me a check. She says, "How much do you want?" God is my witness. That's what she said. And Christ, all that night. She says, "How much money do you want, need to do your thing?" It was like, and you know what? And a long story short, without getting into the details, the Lord says, do not take her up on that, because that is not going to happen. And then she's going to come back, you know, and say, well, you know, we didn't leave. You know, I don't think she would ask for her money back. I don't, because she's a very gracious lady. But the Lord says, don't, you know, he will not let me take that money. I mean, I'm talking about, her husband was a doctor, and she was very well off. Her husband had died. She was very well off. Yeah. And the Lord says, don't take that money, because this is going to be a false, you know, like, so, and I don't know whether I should have taken it or not, you know, but I felt the Lord tell me not to do it at the time. And, yeah, in 1988, the pre-tribulation rapture was, you do research on that, and you'll find exactly what I'm saying is true. That's what they believe. And
wow.
Yeah. And she strongly,
I remember,
wholeheartedly believed in it.
Wow. And it's just like you were saying, like today we have Perry Stone, who's, like you said, has a lot of great teachings, but just a lot of people, they strongly believe in, they're pre-trib, and it's just the evidence is not there. There's so many, yeah.
It's really not there. And yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, when that doesn't happen and we're here on the earth for the wrath of Satan, which is going to last 3.5 years, we don't want people to fall away. Like, they need to hear the truth in advance so that they don't question everything. So in other words, that they know that they can trust the promises of the Lord, because if you can't trust God during that time, bad things could happen for you. Like, you could lose your faith totally, be completely devastated. And we have the teaching, we have the scriptures, we have the prophecy, so that we won't be blind, so that we won't be without the light of the truth that the Lord has left for us in His Word, that He's revealed through His prophets. And so, you know, it's not about what did Mama say, what did Daddy say, well, what did the pastor, you know, what have they been saying in my church, what does this or that person say, is what is the truth? You know, and we can love people, we can respect people, they can be great men and women of God, but none of us has it all right.
Yeah.
And when we're confronted with scripture that conflicts with our beliefs, we need to adjust. We need to adjust. And when we find that there's something that we believe that conflicts with what scripture says, we need to adjust, because the Bible is true.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot to deliver those people from that, because it's such a, like with me, the things I believe. You know, I mean, it took God coming down and telling me, you know, He came down to my level. He said, let me explain to you being born again. Like, you think I'd have had it by now, right? Let me explain this being born again. He says, God says, you know, he said, what happens when he brings me to this thing, right? He says, what happens to when a man and a woman come together in marriage and she gets impregnated by the man? Whose baby is that? Once she's pregnant, and that, whose baby is that? Well, it's the mother and the father. He said, okay. He said, if they abort it in the womb, whose baby is it? But the mother and the father's. He said, yeah. It's always the mother. It's whoever the seed and the egg. When that came together and that baby was created, he said, once that child becomes their child, even if they gave it away and killed it or gave it at birth, adoption, and it doesn't matter where that child goes on, it's always going to be that mother and father, it's going to be their child. That can never change. They can change they can get somebody else's name, they can do whatever they want to, but their DNA always goes back to that. That belongs to that mother and father and can never change. And he says, Randy, so is it when somebody is born from heaven. Once they become my child, they can never not be my child. They can get another name. They can believe all kinds of stuff they want to. But once they're mine, if they're truly born again in their mind, they will always be mine. They can never not be mine. Ever. And that totally changed my mind on a lot of things I believe. And I was a dyed in the wool. You could lose your salvation. It's the Lord started showing me, and I mean, dyed in the wool. It was one of my favorite things that I love to just like go at it, man. And so you have to understand the reason I'm using that example is because it took God Himself, in a sense, by the Spirit of Revelation, showing me through parabolic teaching, through a parable type teaching. And he says, Randy, so when I got that and I chewed on that and meditated on that, Then from then on, I started seeing scripture after scripture after scripture that totally, totally contradicted everything I believed. That was hard
wow.
to do. Yeah. So I understand.
Now, see, that's so interesting. I'm sorry.
No, I'm through. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. So that scripture was there before, but all of a sudden, once God gave you that revelation coming down to where you were, you saw it's kind of like when you get a new car, and then all of a sudden you see all the cars on the road that are like your car, and that color, and that same color
yeah.
make, and they were there all along, but you never really noticed it.
Yeah.
So you're saying once God opened your eyes,
yeah.
then somehow the scriptures came alive and were noticeable and, yeah, speaking to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you get your eyes open. It's like when they ate bread on the road to Emmaus, they didn't know that was Jesus they were talking to. Jesus even acted dumb. You know, he says, who are you talking about? And they were talking about him, right? We thought, you haven't heard, they asked Jesus, you haven't heard about the Messiah who came? And Jesus goes like, well, you tell me about it. You know, he was acting dumb. And so they were about to cry. We thought he was the one. So they went down together. At the end of the road, they ate bread together. And their eyes were open. And all of a sudden, you're Jesus. He didn't tell them he was Jesus. They didn't have a clue he was Jesus. But when they ate bread, when their eyes got open, it changed everything. And that's the thing that we have to understand with people. If their eyes don't get open, they're never going to change. They're never going to change. They're going to believe that Jesus is not going to die on the cross. He's going to rule the throne of David forever. And if they believe that and their eyes don't get open, just like me or anybody else, they will be blind as a bat, just like I was. So that's it, basically, in a nutshell.
Going to happen. People are going to be coming around. They'll be tuning in to PGN more and more. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And thank God for that. And I didn't even notice that scripture tonight until tonight when they were we were looking at that Ephesians 2:20.
Mm-hmm.
Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. Man, I mean, Jesus Christ himself, oh, my gosh, that hit me. I was just like going, Lord, I mean, I, you know, whatever it takes to have that, that's what I want, you know. And so, my Lord and my God, we're not going to be able to say to people anymore, I can't, God wouldn't even let me say it anymore. Oh, it'll all work out in the end. He said, it ain't going to work out in the end, Randy, because people aren't going to be prepared. I want you to tell the truth. Speak plainly. About 6 months ago, I got on the show one night, and I said, the Lord, show me a scripture. He said, the disciples said to Jesus, well, now you're speaking plainly, Jesus. Like they were telling him, you haven't been speaking plainly at all for 3.5 years. Now all of a sudden you're speaking plainly. That's what they told him. He's going like, what? No, he didn't go like, what? He knew. He knew exactly. And so when they told him, now you speak plainly. The Lord says, Randy, from now on, you're going to speak plainly. No more beating around the bush. No more. It's all going to pan out. Like I heard Perry Stone. And I love Perry Stone. Perry Stone's my brother, man, in the spirit. He's my brother. You know, people don't think. I really mean that. And a lot of other ones, too. But he said, don't tell him anymore what you used to say. It's all going to pan out. Don't even say it anymore. Just speak plainly. I'll be with you. People are going to fight you. People are going to come against you. They're going to call you a false prophet. They're going to call you all kinds. I said, well, that's nothing new. He said, yeah, I know. I prepared you for this hour. You are prepared. You're ready for rejection. You've been made for it. I went, yep, that's the truth.
I think I'm finally starting to get that. You've been teaching that. Thank you for us for a while. And I think I'm finally getting that.
Well, I rebuked you when it first came to me, as you know, when it first got that. I was at the gym, relaxing, and you know, on the hydro bed, you know, just you know, vibrating up and down your back, and just man, this is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And out of the blue, the Lord just says, and I made you for rejection. I'm going like, I mean, I woke up and I'm like, I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. I did. I rebuked it. I rebuked that. No, no way. And I settled down. I settled in a little bit. Okay. You know, that's kind of, it kind of scared me because it was so real. And I said it a little bit, and the Lord said it again. You know, I'm like going, I rebuke. My second rebuke is a lot less than the first one. I rebuke that. Like, so then I started thinking, oh, yeah, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I rebuked you. Forgive me. Okay, you want to explain it to me now? And I went to Isaiah 53 and on and on. And then when my eyes got opened up, I went, you know, once your eyes get opened up, you can see it. You know, before I couldn't see it, just like Peter, I was rebuking Jesus. Now, you can't die. You can't do God's will. You got to do what I think, you know. Oh, brother. It was crazy.
Wow.
Amazing. All right. It's been an unusual Monday night. It wasn't what I expected at all. Oh, my gosh. My first caller didn't even listen. I tried my first caller. They didn't even answer, so I went to the only other two people had their hands up, and that was Mike. And then, so really cool. Mike and Jeff, so interesting. All right. I guess I'm going to call it. I got one more caller here. I'm missing a little bit. But anything else you want to say? Anything going on special we want to talk about? What's up?
I'm just so excited about what's coming up and everything with Egypt and Biden.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, yeah, there's like so many things. I'm going to pause. The things I want to say, but I'll wait a little.
All right. Okay, I feel like I'm coming to the close of tonight. That's what I'm feeling like right
okay.
now, so I guess I'm going to finish up. But enjoyed it. I think I prayed for you already. Yeah. All right, awesome. All right. So we will
thank you.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Nicole. All right, bye-bye. I'll just try one more caller here, 225-454.
Uh-oh, can you hear me?
There we go, okay.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, this is Karen, caller from Louisiana.
Oh, hey, Karen. Hey.
Hey,
right.
How are you doing?
All right, really good. Let's pray. I'm going to mute you. Let's pray for you. Thank you for Karen, God. We thank you, Lord, raising her head above the fray of everything. Well, I see God like raising your head, you know, above all the confusion, above all the mess. You know, sometimes we get our head down in it, and we kind of like, you know, we're serving Jesus and we're, you know, believing God, but it's like our head is down in all the confusion. It's like all of a sudden I saw your head being popped up out of it, like you were still standing among it, but it's like your head popped up and you go, wow, I see, you know, I can see differently now. I can see what's going on. It's like God opened up your eyes to see, you know, where your head popped up above what other people, the way people were looking at things, the way people were seeing things, is like God giving you insight to see things, you know, his way, a new way, like the way that, you know, he's opening up our eyes to a new thing, to a new, well, like when God opened up their eyes, when Jesus opened up their eyes through eating bread together, their eyes were open and they could see. Their head moved from trying to figure out, you know, well, Jesus just died and you don't know anything about Jesus, you know, I mean, the Messiah, he's supposed to be the Messiah. Their head was kind of down in the confusion of the moment, in the pain of the moment. And all of a sudden when they ate bread with Jesus, their head popped up and they go, like they popped out and they go, oh, you are Jesus. We didn't know that. Oh, my gosh, you've been walking with us. You know, like their head kind of popped up out of the fray of everything, out of the confusion and could see, you know. And so I see God really doing it with you to, you know, him breaking bread with you where you can, you know, just not just think what everybody else is thinking, going along the same track, what everybody else is tracking, and God getting you on a different track and in a different flow of the Holy Spirit. from the Word of God, from the revelation of Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. There we go.
Hey.
Karen, how are you doing tonight? What's up?
I'm doing good. I just called in to hear the word, hear you talk to everybody. My way of, I guess, fellowshipping with other believers in the time of a pandemic and a time when people were working home more and things like that. So,
yeah.
You know, I was like, well, let me call in, you know.
Oh, good.
So that's how I ended up on the line, just to get my daily dose of inspiration and get prayers in,
good.
Pray with others, and all of that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you are. We hope you're getting something out of all of it. That was amazing. I just saw like your head pop up out of the, you know, like I said, what is? I'm thinking, what does that mean? You know, and it's like what I explained. You know, that God really opening up your eyes to, you know, not like when on the road to Emmaus. You know, after Jesus just died on the cross. They were all discouraged and down. The disciples ran and hid, you know. And then Jesus rose again from the dead, and he was on the road to Emmaus. But nobody really knew it was him, you know. They couldn't figure out. So they were in the confusion. Where I was like, you know, we thought he was the one, man. We knew he would. Look at all the miracles he did. And they were just thinking like everybody else was thinking, like, man, it didn't work. We thought Israel was going to come out of this thing. And, oh, my gosh. You know? And then all of a sudden their head popped up after they ate bread with Jesus. And they realized, oh, my gosh, you aren't dead. You have risen from the dead.
Yes,
you know, it just totally changed their perspective instantaneously. So when I saw that with you, I'm going, like, that's awesome.
Well, I definitely need that experience. I do feel like there's things going on that sometimes I feel like I get carried away in. And, of course, I try to pray about it. I do pray about it a whole lot. And I just find myself praying about it over and over again, because I'm just hoping and believing that God is going to bring my family member out of this situation. So, you know, you just walk a hard trial like that. And, you know, when you're related to people, you truly care about them, it's like you just kind of carry, I don't know if you call it a heaviness, but it's always in the back of your mind. And it's like, God, I just want this person to be okay. I just want them to be free. Father God, deliver them in the name of Jesus. You know, it's like I find myself doing that all day long, every moment that I get, you know, just get on my knees and pray for that person. So, that's where I am. So I definitely need God to raise me up and continue to give me his perspective and his insight. And he's doing that. He is. You know, being human, you have your moments some days, though. But all in all, God is good. Yep.
Amen. Awesome. That's really, really cool.
It is.
I love it. Yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for your daughter tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for opening up her eyes. Just like you're opening up my eyes. I mean, I eat bread. I want my eyes open every day. I mean, there's not a day that I don't want my eyes open. Because you want to open our eyes to everything. You don't want us to be blind. We're not the children of darkness. We're the children of light. And light means you see. Light means we know. We're not supposed to walk around. Now, there's some areas we see in better than others, and we're growing in areas and all that. And we thank you, love. We want the fullness of the gospel. We want the fullness of your truth, the fullness of your love. We want the fullness of everything. And so we thank you, Jesus, that what's going on with all that, God. We thank you, Lord, for opening us up to the river of revelation of Jesus. So everything is revealed. It's all about Jesus. Even if you're telling us about, you know, like when Egypt, when they were in Egypt and after the Passover, you know, they went to the neighbors and got the gold. That was all about Jesus. Jesus was giving them money for their provision, for their currency, for their new nation. And it was coming from Egypt. It wasn't coming raining down out of the sky from heaven. It was coming from the Egyptian system. But that Egyptian system, that money, all this stuff, belonged to God's people. And God says, I want it back. You know what I'm saying? He goes in there and gets it back. So we thank you, Jesus, that we're going to start getting our eyes open to what you're really doing instead of what everybody thinks is going on, what everybody thinks is happening, and get all down in the mully grubs and say, well, man, I hope we get taken out of here. I hope we get taken out because it's going to be horrible. And instead of getting your eyes opened up above the fray of everything, going, oh, my God, you're going to use us. It's going to be amazing, God. It's going to be awesome. We thank you, Jesus, for that, for my sister, God, opening up her eyes, our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you.
All right, Karen, thank you very much. Hey, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just about to say, well, while I have you on the line, if you would pray for a family member who has a court case, court hearing or something like that coming up, that God would just be with him during that time.
Yes,
and provide whatever he needs, touch the lawyer and everybody that's involved.
Yes, yes, okay. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to meet you while I do that. I'm getting a lot of background movement on for some reason in my ear. So, yes, we thank you, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the system. We're believing, God, for a new kingdom, for a new system. When God deals with people, even if they have sinned and messed up, he doesn't want to lock them up, you know, or take away all their stuff. You know, he wants to restore them. Jesus didn't come to judge people like under the law, and if somebody gets caught in the act of something, they get stoned over it, killed over it. He said, I didn't come for that. He said, I came to liberate. I came to set free. I came to change people's hearts who have messed up. I came to change. We thank you, Lord, for the new system. Thank you, Jesus, for let the new system begin to manifest to people in that courtroom. God, somebody, maybe one person, maybe the judge, maybe the attorney, whoever they are, that gets a hold of, that gets their eyes open to the new thing, God, and start showing how to deal with the new things, how to deal with people from the new way. Jesus said that this cup is the new cup. This is my blood. This is my body. This is the new covenant. This is the new cup. This is the new way we deal. We're going to deal with things like this. Yes, people sin and fail and fall short. We thank you, God, to set them free in Jesus' name and deliver them by the power of God into this new kingdom, this new system. We thank you, Jesus, for let it manifest with Karen's loved one, God. Let it manifest in Jesus' name. Open up. Have mercy. Have grace. God, put this person in a place where they can be helped, where they can be they can come through whatever they need to come through, whatever the situation is, in Jesus' name. Merciful God, merciful, kind Jesus, speak and deliver and give words and give information, God, and open up somebody's eyes tonight. Whatever that thing's going on, open up their eyes, God. If it's just one person, one important person, open their eyes up, God, in Jesus' name, so they can see. Hallelujah, for your mighty deliverance, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I know I had I'll talk about that tomorrow, but I gave a word to somebody about their daughter, and just out of the blue. I think it's Thursday night, but I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night a little bit, maybe tomorrow night, about the word God gave me, how it came to pass. She emailed me or texted me, I think today, and said, Randy, I don't believe this word you gave me. It came to pass. I went, oh, wow, awesome. It was awesome. We'll talk about it later, but it's God's moving. God's doing stuff, and we thank you, Jesus, for doing it with your people tonight. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Have mercy on us, oh God. Whatever we need to be changed in, God, Randy Chandler or whoever you are out there, whatever your name is, give us a name. Give us that password into the treasures of God's love, to the treasures of God's mercy, to the treasures of your glory, God, to the heartbeat of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have mercy for them. We plead mercy for our brother. We plead mercy for those who are being judged, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Merciful God. Amen. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, everybody else, for being with us tonight. We appreciate it. We'll be back on tomorrow night. So you never know what you're going to get when you come on. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Literally, I never know most of the time. Yep. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.